Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Yes, it's still raining. I don't know why I was surprised when I looked out the window. I think I was hoping that it would have been done, but it's still coming down. Already here in the FM Metro, we have picked up about 2 to 2.25 inches of rain. Today, cloudy with rain. 49 degrees for our high temp. Winds out of the east northeast, 5 to 15. Right now, we have showers, 40 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the north-northeast, 6 miles an hour. A man died after a vehicle fell on him in Chaffee, North Dakota last night. The Cass County Sheriff's Office says a 68-year-old man was working under a vehicle when it fell on him. He died at the scene. His name had not been released. No one was hurt when a Minnesota State Patrol squad car was hit in Moorhead. Clay County Sheriff's Office's Trooper Ben Bauer was responding to help Moorhead police with an uncooperative person about 10:40 yesterday morning. He was heading south on 20th Street when his squad's emergency lights on when it was struck by an SUV. Authorities say Bauer and four people inside the SUV were not hurt. Everyone was wearing their seat belts. The road was wet at the time due to the rain. No one has been cited. The crash remains under investigation. Red Pepper is expanding in Fargo on their Facebook page. The popular local taco restaurant says it's opening a second location in the city this summer at the Shops at Osgood next to Sandy's Donuts. Red Pepper has 5 locations in all, covering Fargo and Grand Forks, where the restaurant first launched more than 50 years ago. Walsh County officials are looking at what to do next after a vote failed last week seeking to build a new sheriff's office and jail. State's attorney is looking at whether the sheriff's office can take advantage of sales tax revenue and move forward on some type of project. More information will come out after a final vote is certified by county officials. A man hurt by a bull at the 2021 Nimrod Bull Bash in Wadena County, Minnesota, has been awarded over $2 million. Scott Sellers was gored and thrown into the air while participating in cowboy softball. The event consisted of members of the audience playing softball while bulls are loose on the field. The complaint says he never signed a waiver after being told it was a safe event. Sellers was taken to a Fargo hospital for emergency spinal surgery before being airlifted to an intensive rehab unit in Colorado. A Twin Cities woman filed a medical malpractice lawsuit against Alina Health and her former surgeon, alleging he removed the wrong organ. The suit claims Dr. Devin Callahan removed a kidney instead of the Plymouth woman's spleen. It goes on to say Callahan's report following the surgery said he removed an intact spleen, although a post-op scan revealed the infected spleen remained and the kidney was missing. Lawsuit says a woman now has kidney disease and requires dialysis. And a judge has dismissed a lawsuit in motion for an injunction against the St. Louis Park, Minnesota family's basketball hoop location. The Moding family was sued by neighbor Julia Ramos over the location of their hoop. Ramos argued the family trespasses on her property to get their basketballs. She sued both the city of St. Louis Park and the Moding family to have the basketball hoop removed. An attorney for the city says Ramos presented no evidence to back up her claims. Well, that was a nonsense one. We talked about that a week or so ago. I'm glad that and these kids were little. They were like maybe 6 and 8 years old or something like this.
They were very little, and it was a frivolous lawsuit to begin with. Yes, and it was a woman that was a former attorney, I believe.
Yeah.
And so
known to file suits.
It didn't look like a legitimate suit, and it just looked like she was a bad neighbor more than anything.
Maybe she should move.
I think she should. I should be her punishment for bringing a frivolous lawsuit. Now you have to move out of the neighborhood that you love so much that you wanted to keep your neighbor kids away from your yard.
Like
so
I said, they were just little kids, too.
I know. It's
like,
just
on.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, last night, game one of the Western Conference Finals. This is the third time this postseason the Wolves have lost a game. This is the third time that they've scored in the 80s. So that's the common theme in their losses so far this year. Julius Randle led the way with 28 points and 8 boards. Anthony Edwards had 18 points and 9 rebounds. This time, he tweaked his right ankle instead of his left ankle, so he had that going for him. Minnesota led by 4 at the half, but Oklahoma City got it together in the second half, outscored the Wolves by 30 in the second half. A big part of it was the fact that those bench players, and I have to look at the stats yet to be exact, Bonnie, but the bench points is going to be hugely in favor of Oklahoma City, number one. Number two, those guys in the second half came in and knocked down shots. Dante DiVincenzo, at least at the point where I probably gave up watching. Naz Reid, I think he had 2 buckets. or maybe it was just one at the time. He was like one of nine with one of two from the free throw line at that point. Dante DiVincenzo was 3 of 11. I think all three of his shots might have been three-pointers. And then Nikhil Alexander-Walker made a couple of buckets. But those three guys right there shot really poorly, and you need your guys off the bench to really help round out the scoring. So Oklahoma City got going. Not real thrilled about the how it was officiated last night, but that's kind of a typical fan reaction. Minnesota Twins and Cleveland Guardians, they were rained out. Twins and Guardians are scheduled to play this afternoon with first pitch scheduled for 2. Joe Ryan will start for Minnesota in that second game. They're gonna have a doubleheader on September 20th, so I believe they're going to finish the game that was suspended, then play the next game, and then on September 20th, they're going to have a traditional doubleheader. For Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, they also were rained out yesterday, which is no surprise because it was raining all day here. They're going to be made up in a seven-inning doubleheader today, assuming that the rain stays away this evening. Game one, first pitch scheduled at 6 p.m. Game two will begin 30 minutes after that. Redhawks enter with a record of 6-3 in the young season. Tonight in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's game one on TNT with the Knicks hosting the Pacers. Tip-off scheduled for 7 p.m. Regular season, Knicks took 2 out of 3 from the Pacers. Stanley Cup playoffs, Florida Panthers took down the Carolina Hurricanes 5-2. Panthers lead that series 1-0. This is the third straight year the Florida Panthers are in the Eastern Conference Finals. They made it to the Stanley Cup Finals in back-to-back years. Tonight on the ice, Dallas will be hosting Edmonton. Puck drop at 7 p.m. Dallas won the regular season series 2-1. They haven't played each other since March, so there's that. And we'll see if the Oilers and Stars can have another good series. I wanted to mention that obviously Minnesota Lynx are going to look to start 3-0 on the year when they welcome the Dallas Wings and Paige Becker to the Target Center tonight. And they have gotten off to a good start. They beat Dallas on the road 99-84 to start the season. They went out to L.A. and won that game 89-75, so they finally return home for their home opener tonight. So if you're in the area and you want to go see some good basketball, go down to the Target Center, tip off at 7. Interesting, Bonnie. NFL is approving the NFL players to participate in the 2028 Summer Olympics. Justin Jefferson is interested in it. League owners approved it. Flag football is going to be a new sport. The only question I have is that a couple years ago, they had a flag football tournament in like the off season, right?
Okay.
They had teams that basically, I wouldn't say play professionally, but they play a ton of tournaments across the country. They play in flag football tournaments. So they had these kind of, not necessarily average Joes, but guys that play just flag football. And then they had a team of like NFL All-Stars waiting for them in this kind of like, you had your amateur, you know, flag football division champion, and then they had a couple teams of NFL players, and then they played the NFL players. Based on the way they play flag football at the Pro Bowl, which is basically you've got your quarterback standing there able to pick guys apart and throw touchdown passes to Justin Jefferson, et cetera, right? A lot of times in flag football, you snap it to one guy who pitches it to another. Now that guy can either throw the ball or he can run the ball, because if you snap it to the quarterback, he can't run the ball past the line of scrimmage. So it's a little bit different.
It's flag football.
It's a little bit different style is what I'm saying. So I don't know that the NFL players will be quite as dominant as they think they will
be. It was
be.
Exciting when Logan played flag football, like in third through fifth grade, or even when I played flag football in fifth and sixth grade. Yeah. I don't want to watch NFL players play flag football.
They all want to win Olympic medals, and so that's why they want to do it. So
just,
I mean,
give them a participation trophy pretty and much. They'll be happy with it.
Yeah, flag football, though, is a new sport coming to Los Angeles in 2028. Not necessarily a new sport per se, but obviously new to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Tonight, you can tune in to Primetime Sports right here on WDAY Radio from 6:30 to 7 with Big Game James McCarty and myself. We'll probably vent a little bit more about the Wolves game last night. I have some issues with some of the things that happened last night. But
I'm
otherwise,
glad I didn't stay up all night. I went to bed after the first quarter.
I should have went to bed after the third quarter, but I gave it a little bit of time because they were within 9 or 10 at the end of the third, which technically is still in that range where yeah. Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle can get hot and they can come back and win a game there. But Oklahoma City, in a sense, is just too good. And when they get rolling like they did in the second half, they're a hard team to beat. So they got to regroup, try some new strategies, and get back after it game two. And hopefully everybody will shoot a little bit better from the three-point line.
Yeah, I watched the highlight reel. Mm-hmm. I was surprised at the way I was trying to figure out, like, how do they go down? Did they yeah. just get clobbered? No, it's no. like the Wolves are even up by nine going into ending the first half yeah, and even just, in the third until you got to the final couple of minutes
they
of the
just,
third.
Well, the first minute of the third, Oklahoma City got the first two buckets and took a lead, and yeah. then it was just back and forth for right. a bunch of that quarter. But quite honestly, Minnesota, it's the same thing that's cost them in other games. And, of course, in the first two series, they never had a game where it really mattered, but they just shot poorly. They shot about twice as many or more three-pointers as Oklahoma City, and they just weren't shooting well enough. And if you watch the game, especially in the first quarter, and you looked at the stats, which I wanted to look at for PTS tonight, I think Minnesota's shooting percentage went basically down each and every quarter. So you allow Oklahoma City to start shooting better and better as the game goes on, and you shoot worse and worse. It's not a recipe for success.
Yeah. All right. Let's go, Wolves. Rain's still coming down. It's going to be another cloudy, rainy day. Tomorrow will be nice with sunshine. So get through the rain again today. Lots of rain across the region. We're looking for a high around 49. East-northeast winds 5 to 15. Already here in Fargo-Moorhead, we picked up about 2.25 inches of rain. I'm seeing Grand Forks, 0.86. Parker's Prairie, Minnesota, 2.8 inches. 2.6 still coming down in Underwood, Otter Tail, 2.6 inches of rain. So quite a bit of rain here and more yet to add up. Mostly sunny tomorrow, 64 for our high temp with winds out of the north, northeast, 5 to 15. Friday, partly to mostly cloudy as we start the long Memorial Day holiday, 68 for the high. And then for the weekend, Saturday through Memorial Day, 67 all 3 days. And there is a slight chance, just 20% chance of rain on Sunday and Monday. Showers 40 degrees here at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the north, northeast, 6 miles an hour. 5:12, we are going to update you on your national news and a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. 5:19, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY radio. Another rainy day. Rain will be ending later on. It looks like the radar screen, we'll be seeing it through the morning here. I'm not sure what time it'll end, but Dino will be in letting us know about 6 o'clock this morning. Already 2.25 inches on average here across the FM metro. Question of the morning, what food or dish reminds you of your mom or grandma's cooking? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 5:23 Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Yeah, I think we're all kind of thinking the rain could shut off, but
yeah, it'd be nice to just tone it down a notch.
I mean, I know Dean said it was still going to be raining today, mm-hmm. but when I got up and I look out my window, it's like, oh, it's still raining.
I think the worst part for me, I don't mind a rainy day. You know, it's just like, well, I'm not going to go walk Luna outside because I do see people out walking their dogs in the rain. And I'm just like, man, that's going to make just one wet, smelly dog, right?
Yeah.
And I know that Luna would love to be able to go for a walk. And I know the rain doesn't bother her. But every time she goes out to use the bathroom and comes back, she's just soaked.
Yeah.
And the backyard is just wet and mushy back yeah. there. And just, mm-hmm. just by walking, she gets her belly and everything and her paws are all soaked. And then, of course, the rain's coming down on that coat of hers. And you're just like, dude. This rain could slow down a little bit.
It kept me inside, too, so I had to walk on my treadmill yesterday, which I don't love doing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I could have put on a rain jacket and rain pants because if you're going to go outside and you're walking, you know, 2-3 miles like I do.
You'd be soaked if you didn't.
And then you're all sweaty because raincoats aren't exactly breathable
to begin with.
And I'm like, You would have looked
like you were one of those wrestlers from the 1980s trying to cut weight.
Exactly.
Lose that water weight before weigh-in.
Every once in a while, I'll see older guys with the heavy sweat. You know, they'll have the hood up, and that's exactly what they're trying. I don't know if it's working for them.
I don't know, buddy. I mean, because if it's just water weight, it's all going to come back the next time you get hydrated.
Yeah. good train of thought, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, more rain, lighter than what we saw yesterday, obviously. Yesterday, there were some pretty good downpours that time. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're about 2.25 inches here across the FM metro, that's some pretty good rain. And that was going to catch us up on the dry conditions. We're going to get up to where we should be. That's what Dean had told us before we get out of this. And western and central North Dakota has seen a lot more rain than we have seen. So it was much needed. But at some point, everybody's like, stop. Us construction workers, we'd like to get back out there on the roads and do our work. Farmers want to get back in the fields. The home gardeners probably would like to get out there and do a little gardening. And I know for a lot of them, Memorial Day weekend's a big time for people to plant or bring flowers mm-hmm. and plants out to the cemetery and get that done too. But the good news is after we get through today, we will dry out, and tomorrow looking like a decent day. I think Dean bumped the temperature down a little bit. Yeah. I thought it was supposed to be like 69, 70. Now I see 65. He monkeys around with those numbers.
Well, I mean, once, it's kind of like the joke I make about the weather rock. Once the day gets here and you can actually, go outside and see the weather and see the numbers, well, then, yeah, you're more accurate and you might have to adjust your prediction.
Yeah.
So.
Rain today, 49 for the high, becoming sunny tomorrow, high around 64. I'm golfing tomorrow, too, so. Yeah. Ladies League.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've only been out twice so far, so this will be my third round out. But my last one, I was pretty impressed with my game. So I'm looking forward to getting out and golfing. And, the mosquitoes shouldn't be bad either for Memorial Day holiday, because usually it takes like 7 to 10 days or mm-hmm. something like that before a rain and warmer weather before they hatch. So, yeah, that's always miserable when you're at the lake and you've got just, an explosion of mosquitoes.
Yeah, even like when you want to sit in your backyard on a summer evening and just kind of enjoy either a fire pit or just some time outside when the weather's nice, and you're just trying to enjoy it outside, and just you're just getting bugs everywhere, and you've got the little citronella candles burning, you've got a bug zapper over there, and it's not really cutting it.
Citronella candles were, I don't know. I mean, I've used them too in the past, but
maybe minimally, but not kind of what I not think. Great to say the least. So
For your Memorial Day travel, according mm-hmm. to Gas Buddy, they say we'll be enjoying cheap gas. No, gas went up, although it dropped back down a dime because it went up to, it was at 265, then it went up to 299. Now I'm seeing about 289.
What did I tell you it was going to do before the weekend?
Right,
they raised the price by like anywhere from 35 or 30 cents.
Yeah, it was a big jump.
And they jumped it way up, and I was like, oh, look, we've got cheaper gas than everybody. Well, that's because you raised the price 35 cents, dummy.
Nationwide, I guess Gas Buddy says the nationwide average is $3.08 a gallon. Yeah. Cheapest Memorial Day, they say, gas since 2021.
That's really not saying much. I mean, because gas has been so high for the last 5-6 years. It's It is what it is, but it's less than ideal.
And if you're traveling for the long holiday weekend by the road, AAA says over 39 mm-hmm. million people will be on the roads. They will shut down construction zones, however.
Yeah.
You have to pack your patience if you're traveling during times
like that. It seems as though the two truck stops over here towards our station seem to be cheaper than other gas stations around town. So, number one, there's that. But, you go up 35 to go down 10, that's still up 25 cents.
It ain't mathin' is what you usually say?
No, and just the math ain't mathin' because, and there's other people that won't have notice and be like, oh, it just went down 10 cents. No, it went up 35 last week, and
that
now it's down 10.
That was a crazy jump. I don't know the last time I've seen a jump like that.
Because you had been pointing out it was 269, 265, and all of a sudden we come to work like on that next Monday, and all of a sudden it was up to 299.9. I'm like, what the heck?
Holy Hannah.
I know.
No doubt. So. Yeah, and also probably airports will probably be busy for the long holiday weekend.
Highways are going to be busy. I know mm-hmm. we'll be driving several hours to get out west, but that's totally fine. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, drive safe. Everybody drive safe. Yeah. And we're in town. We've got a graduation party this weekend.
Oh, okay.
So there's been a lot of graduation parties and proms and everything going on the past couple of weeks here locally.
Prom was a couple weeks ago, I think,
in
West
Fargo. Yeah,
and I think graduation is this weekend then.
Well, you have to spread it out. You can't have it the same weekend as your friends, because you want to hit everybody's parties. I know how this game works. I've had three graduates.
I know that MSUM was last weekend. I don't.
NDSU.
I think NDSU was last weekend as well, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Because I think I saw somebody's child had graduated from NDSU. So, yep.
So local colleges, I believe, are all their ceremonies are done. Now the high schools get to take center stage and get theirs done.
And some will spread out. I mean, they don't necessarily have it like the weekend of graduation or the week before. Some will do it like maybe in June even, later in June, whenever it works for their family or where they can work around their friend's schedule.
Yeah, exactly. I think my nephew got his associate's degree last weekend, so that my parents had to make another trip to Rapid for that. So they're putting on some miles on the vehicle, to say the least.
One of Logan's, it was funny, when we moved into our newer neighborhood, like, I don't know, 13 years ago or whatever, Logan met his best little buddy, and Hudson was only child, though, so he was a little, you know, mature. Logan was a little, I don't want to say immature, but just late bloomer or whatever.
They were different
but
paths.
There is like a 5.5 year gap. Those two have been best buddies now for 13 years.
Yeah.
And Hudson's graduating from high school, so we're going to be going to his graduation party. And he always used to come over. He's only lived like four doors down. He loves the cookies I make. I make an Italian Pizzelli cookie. I've got a Pizzelli machine. And so I'll make
now them. We're finding out more about the cookie details at your house.
Oh, I haven't brought those in for you. I think Dean's had them before. They're just delicate, so they break. I know you're delicate.
I'm delicate.
But they're just very thin. They're not exactly like rough and tumble like me and just toss them in the car like those chocolate chip cookies and they're going to hold up. You got to carefully carry them in. But maybe I'll make you some Pizzellis too.
Well, you can't be holding out on all these things that you can make, especially dessert items. I mean, that's just not fair.
I believe you just had chocolate chip cookies that I made last week, like probably
chocolate
on Thursday,
chip and walnut
Friday or
cookies.
Something. Yeah, they were good, apparently, because that's what my husband had for supper last night. I think he ate the last four of them. It's like, that's healthy.
I had it for breakfast, so you mean it's a breakfast food.
I guess. It's each his own.
Well, there wasn't enough for Dean. There was only enough for me and James, so there's that, Bonnie.
Yeah. Speaking of food, what food or dish reminds you of your mom or grandma's cooking? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Pierogies or poroje, or we thought when we were little, because of my grandma and mom's Ukrainian accent, we thought they were called petohe, so we always used to ask for petohe. And we do it with sharp Cracker Barrel, sharp cheddar cheese, chunks of ham, mashed potatoes, and then you put them in a dumpling.
You got the meat in those. I mean, I even like them. I've liked pierogies.
There's different. People do them different, but that's how my family
sometimes
makes
there's
them.
Different flavors, but usually I would, in the past, I would just buy the potato ones. Maybe they had some cheddar
those
cheese
Those are okay.
In it.
Mrs. T's or whatever they're called. Those are okay.
I actually like them like with a little bit of Alfredo sauce, believe it or not.
You could do that.
Yeah.
If you have the homemade ones, which...
Well, I haven't.
I think Dean's had those, too. Yeah. What hasn't Dean have that I make, but...
Why is he such a suck-up for food?
Because he is, but he
doesn't even get here till 6 o'clock.
Know. They're very labor-intensive.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
So I usually make them, like, twice a year, but that definitely would be, like, my mom or grandma's specialty dish.
Which part of it is the most labor-intensive? Making the filling or making the pasta to put it in there?
Well, I've gotten good at this at now what I do is I make the potatoes, and you can even do them the day before if you want. Mash them. You don't put milk in them. You just mash them.
Yeah.
Add the cheese so it kind of melts in there in the ham. And then you can put that in the fridge to cool. You don't have to get to the dough right away.
Right, right.
It's putsy because once you roll out the dough, and then you got to have the right amount that you put in there. And it's you kind of make them like in a, I guess, a half moon, I'd say. Getting it sealed right, because if you – and it's like over. Seal them right, then they pop open and
they're
doing
them by hand, though. You don't
– there's some little cutters I've seen.
Yeah, they're like little –
I don't know
like
how well they
plastic
work.
Ones.
I've never used
them.
We've always – you know, we do it traditionally. So we've always done them by hand.
I think at one point in time we got a – we found it at a place like Ross or Marshall's or someplace, like a little pasta roller.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tried to make pasta at home. I think this was clear back when we lived in California. And it just, I mean, we didn't do it enough times to really get the hang of it. So that was part of the issue, that we didn't really kind of continue to experiment with making homemade pasta just because it was difficult and we weren't particularly doing it right.
Yeah, it takes a number of goes to perfect things.
The thing that I have to learn, the thing that reminds me of my grandma, and my mom has taken the mantle, at least in our side of the family. I don't know about the other aunts and uncles, but my grandma would take every like Thanksgiving. She would take the carcass, she would make a turkey stock.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then little bits and pieces of the turkey that were left on the bone, she'd pick it all off, and then she'd make turkey and noodles.
Yep.
She would make homemade noodles, but it was the type where your You're rolling out the dough and you're cutting it with a knife by hand. You're not using like a little.
Because that's how, that's just traditional, right?
Yep. Yeah. So my mom has learned how to make the noodles. So when we have them up and if they've had Thanksgiving without us or they come up for Thanksgiving with us, we'll boil that carcass down and then mom will make the turkey noodles like grandma used to make. So
that's your family tradition, right?
And so I have to learn how to do that. Probably sooner than later, just to start learning how to do it correctly. And then on top of that, I would say also my grandma Harms, then she used to make the cinnamon rolls, kind of like the Cinnabon ones with the white frosting on them. Mm-hmm. And she would also make caramel rolls as well. But her and then, of course, my mom in a sense too, I mean, they'd make the basics like a roast turkey or roast beef, whatever, right? But for the most part, mom and my grandmother on that side, they were more, in a sense, more bakers than anything.
Well, your mom makes beautiful cakes all the time for the grandkids.
She is really, over the years, she started doing it for the grandkids, and she's gotten better and better at it, and where she makes, makes homemade fondant and then cuts out designs or whatever. They come up with something that the grandchild wants as far as the
whatever their hobbies or interests are.
I think 1 year for Jaden, she made a Fargo Force like jersey cake. Yeah. She's made a front of a Jeep because one of my nephews loves Jeeps or whatever. So they get some type of pattern and her and dad sit there and work on it and get it all done.
Their team. I love that.
Yeah. And so she's gotten really good at that, you know, and then there's the one, like the fudge dump bars or whatever that I showed you that recipe for. She got that recipe after, I think it used to be a box of like Duncan Hines or Betty Crocker. But she's more of a baker than you know, meals per se, you know, so.
Basically everything that mom or grandma made, we love. Right?
Oh, yeah. But especially, you know, you go to stuff that mom made. But you go to your grandmother's and the things that they made, like my grandmother's, my grandma Denman's chocolate chip cookies. I don't know what she did different. And maybe it was just that, you know, the love she put into it. But I swear my grandma Denman's cookies, there was a special specific recipe that she had that made them taste different than everybody else's.
Yeah, it's the love that got put in there. What food or dish reminds you of your mom or grandma's cooking? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Go to the phone lines, find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning, you two. How are you?
We're good. Reminiscing about favorite foods moms and grandmas made. What do you have?
Well, I guess it would be my worst, best memory in a way.
Oh.
It would be my grandmother would cook. At that point in time in her life when she was about 75 or older. And I think she would forget some ingredients because she used to make mince pie. And the mince pie was just so gross, those kids wouldn't even get near the table where all the other pies were.
I've never even had it before. I know what, you know, I've seen it and stuff. I know what it is, but I've never had it before. So did she make it good 1 year then because she forgot something?
It just didn't taste right to us kids. We just couldn't stand it.
Hmm.
And it was green, so it looked like it was moldy.
Green?
Green, yeah. So there was two strikes against Grandma as far as that's concerned.
Oh, no.
But, you know, he was always, the rest of the spread for like Thanksgiving or whatever was always great. Mama would go over there early to help her, you know, finishing up the cooking and the prep work for the onslaught of people that were coming over to her house. But, yeah, that's something that us kids, we talk about when we get together for family reunion. It's grandma's mince pie.
It's probably like my mom's fruitcake. There's two brother-in-laws that like the fruitcake, and none of the rest of us like the fruitcake. And it's those, I don't know, whatever, those jellied green and red
maraschino cherries
or whatever they are.
Bonnie, they might have said they liked it just to be nice because it was an in-law. And then,
well, that's a mistake because then you get it each and every year.
I was going to say they always make it then.
She would put brandy in her fruitcake too and nuts. And I know she would send
it. She might put a little brandy in herself while she's making it.
No,
huh?
My mom wasn't a drinker. Isn't a drinker. But no, she just the recipe that she followed. But yeah, I know she'd always email it out to her sister's husband out in Washington, D.C. He loved it. And then, like I said, two of the son-in-laws, and I don't know. Not my thing, and I've tried it before, but, yeah, just don't like fruitcake.
Yeah. You take it out of the wrapping and let the air get to it for about 4 months, and they make great doorstops.
There you go. Polly, have yourself a good day.
You too.
All right. What food or dish reminds you of your mom or grandma's cooking? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC.
545, Bonnie Amistadi and Jay Stenman, and you. Bonnie and Friends, I just got a text from my mom.
Yeah? Is she listening to us?
Yeah, Dad's got an appointment this morning. I'll tell you more about that off the air.
Okay.
But she's like, she said, fun listing your memories of food that Grandma and I would make. She's like, good job.
Good morning, Mom and Dad.
It's finally about time they listen to us in the morning.
There you go. Grandma Amistadi wasn't the most amazing cook, but she did make polenta, which is, you know, Italian. And
Italian grits for those from the South.
Well, there's different polentas.
I know, I'm just saying.
The one that my family likes, and I think I'm the only one that does not like it this way. Mm-hmm. It's made with buckwheat. And I don't, like, and then they put, like, pepperoni in it and a ton of mozzarella so it would melt in the buckwheat. But buckwheat has such a distinct taste.
Yeah.
And then we would put spaghetti sauce. That's not my favorite way to do it. However,
Is it still the same kind of texture as grits? Because I don't know.
No,
I'm
it's
not
thicker because it's a buckwheat flour, so it's thicker.
Thicker.
And kind of.
Well, it depends. Sometimes depends on the temperature of the grits as far as how thick or runny they are, per se.
It's not grits, it's polenta.
I know, but it's in the same family-ish of type of stuff.
Kind of. That's how I would compare it to. But so that's the buckwheat polenta, and then we put spaghetti sauce on it. The kind that I like that my mom makes all the time, it's usually we did partridge because my dad and brother hunted a lot, but you can do it with chicken or whatever. And then she puts, you know, fries it up and seasons it, fries it up, and then you put it in a heavy cream sauce with a little sage mixed in there, and then it goes over the yellow polenta, right? Like the grits. And then we'd eat it on plates. My mom got so grossed out because Grandma Amistadi would do this. And it was like our extended family. So all told, there was probably two dozen. And as kids, we thought this was the coolest thing. So she had a big dining room table. She'd cover it with tinfoil. And then after the polenta was done, she'd spread it over the entire tinfoil.
Oh.
And then, you know, put the sauce on it. And then everybody would sit at the table. You kind of like sit where your spot is. And then you just have a fork and you kind of eat. My mom thought it was so gross because I guess afterwards, after everybody was done eating, there's still polenta left because the whole table is covered. Grandma would scoop it in a pan and then put it in the fridge for the next meal. And my mom would just get so grossed out about it.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be one thing if you're doing that and you're just putting a portion in front of everybody.
And maybe if it's just your small family of four or five or something like that.
That might be a little weird if it's the entire family.
But and extended family. And if somebody coughs or sneezes. Yeah. Then, you know, as a kid, we thought it was the coolest. But as an adult and a germ freak, I probably would be right there with my mom like, bah, we're not doing that.
Well, the funny thing is that marrying somebody from the South, I was introduced to grits through her. And granted, she likes to put cheese in it. I mean, she grew up, you know, eating grits, and it you make the grits, you put a bunch of cheese in there, so these cheesy grits, right? Of course, with me, I always like to take my scrambled eggs, throw that on top of the grits, and then, of course, I always like my picante sauce on top of all of it, and I love to eat it that way.
Is that sacrilege? Do you get a look if you do it that way?
No, not necessarily, because there's different ways to eat it. I remember when the last time I had some training down at Fletsy. Every evening, there was a bunch of us, we went off base and we would go get something to eat. We went it was either a restaurant called Norma Jean's or Barbara Jean's, I forget. And I got the shrimp and grits there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was some of the best grits I've ever had.
I've never had grits in my life.
Yeah. I mean, the shrimp and grits, I mean, that's definitely not more like, because a lot of times the grits are, you're using it for like a breakfast type of meal, at least in my limited opinion. But their shrimp and grits was more of a dinner. So I would say when it's the type when it's shrimp and grits, then it's kind of one of those things where maybe it's more along the lines of what you would commonly see, it look like polenta, you know, you might say.
Yeah, it looks like it, but I think the flavor would be
different. The flavor is going to be a bit different, but I think the
polenta is made out of corn.
The texture obviously is going to be similar.
Texture.
And I don't remember what if grits are made of corn or if they're made of something else. I'd have to look it up.
Isn't it hominy, which is kind of like corn, I think, isn't it?
Could be. I'd have to like a double check.
My husband's mom, her side of the family, and they're from like Sauk Center, so central Minnesota. And I don't know if it's just their family recipe, which their mom, grandma used to make, but it's carried down through the generations here. And they make grits, but they're not southern grits. It's, not buckwheat. Ooh, it's like it's a grain. Well, and they go to like the grain elevator to get this. I'll think of it eventually here.
Grits, according to a quick Google search, grits are made from coarsely ground corn.
Is it corn?
I said corn.
Well, what's hominy? Isn't that like a kind of a corn or something?
It looks kind of like corn. I mean, when I've seen hominy.
I've seen it in a can, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's made from corn. It's just different. Oh, they treat it with an alkali, so I suppose it maybe tastes different. They remove
the hominy
in Germany. Yeah. No, but my husband's family, they have grits, but they're not the same grits. They're a savory breakfast food.
Yeah.
And my sister-in-law got tired of making them for my husband, so she finally gave him the recipe and said, make them yourself. And he will. He'll get out the good old, you know, kettle and make them like twice a year. And it'll make like four pans, and then they slice them up, and you wrap them in wax paper and put them in the freezer. But it's like a cracked wheat, but it's not wheat. I have to think of what the grain is. And then it's got bacon grease, so it's really healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon grease that's worked into there, and then a bunch of different spices. It is really good. I'll give them that. It is a savory breakfast treat. So instead of having hash browns, you can have grits with
it. Exactly. And when in our house, a lot of times we just use the instant grits. So basically you just got to boil some water, throw the grits in there, and let them – basically soak in a sense until, or actually you throw them in there. I think you got to boil them. I take that back. But then you wait until they're cooked, and then all of a sudden, you know, sometimes they thicken up a little bit depending on how long you kind of let them sit there. But yeah, just, I don't know. There's something about them that I actually like. Granted, like I said, maybe I do it in a non-Southern way. I, you know, like I said, extra cheese, throw your scrambled eggs on top, and then throw some salsa on it.
Yeah, you and your salsa. I like salsa,
I love it.
But not on eggs. What food or dish reminds you of your mom or grandma's cooking? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Barb says, creamed potatoes. I don't know what that is. Would it be like just like a heavy whipping cream on potatoes and then seasonings, I suppose, maybe?
Well, I don't think it would be. I think it would be mixed into it.
Well, it could be like a mashed potato, but she says cream, so it could be like a cream sauce over potatoes. I don't know. It sounds good, though. I mean, anything with heavy whipping cream is delicious.
When I've made mashed potatoes, like when I've had my parents and grandmother up for like Thanksgiving, I literally just mash them, and I might put a little bit, touch of, you know, milk or heavy cream in there, maybe a little bit of cheese, and just mash them so there's a chunkier texture. My grandmother, usually when we had, you know, holiday meals together, we would have basically whipped potatoes. So that's even, it's she would use a electric beater or whatever on it to whip them. And so they were very, I guess, I don't know, you'd say creamy, but they're not runny or anything.
These are, I'm seeing a picture of it. These are like chunks of potatoes in a cream sauce. And then if you wanted to add, this picture I'm looking at now, they threw peas on the top of it. But
anything
you want to add. They look absolutely delicious. Barb, I think I'm going to be getting that recipe off you. Janet says her mom was a great cook. Probably her turkey feasts with all the fixings is what would remind her of mom's cooking. And then I've not heard of this, but she says her grandma Sarah made the best yummy homemade molasses bread when they went to visit. Do you familiar with molasses bread?
No, I don't think we had anybody that made molasses bread.
All kinds of breads I've had, but I've never had. That looks delicious. Just Google a picture of it.
Here's what I will say about mom's side of the family, and I've told this story many times, that there was a point in time when we'd have the majority of the family together for Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever it was. You would get done with that big, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, which, you know, usually we had turkey. You know, sometimes you might have turkey and ham or whatever. Yep. But we have this big dining table that was all of the adults. So it's all the aunts and uncles, grandma. And then we'd have the end where all the grandkids were. And we would take the end part where the grandkids were, and we'd have this big table, and that thing was completely filled with sweets.
All the desserts.
And that was like, for whatever reason, we, you know, obviously in the Midwest, we called it dinner and supper. So after dinner, then, you know, dessert, they would call that lunch. So we would have about an hour or so. Some of us cousins would fall asleep after having the turkey dinner.
Yep.
And then there was just miles of sweets. Mm. And you had each of the families that were there would bring multiple dishes. And sometimes, nice. Like my older cousin, Vonnie, she would come. And once she got old enough, then she would start bringing stuff.
Sure.
And, of course, there was a running joke of my Aunt Marlis. Because she brought a salad one time,
yeah,
and it wasn't just like in a bowl, like, you know, your normal kind of big bowl that you had made some salad in. It was like a giant bowl.
Yeah, that's my family rolls to. Everything's got to be in a massive bowl.
Well, there was always one person that would end up making something super huge, so that was a running joke that my aunt would just make this giant salad, you know, or giant dessert.
She wanted to make sure everybody had leftovers to take home. My oldest sister still does that. My mom does it. I usually do it, too. It runs in the family.
The amount of sugar and sweets we would have at Grandma's for dessert after the fact, you know, pies, cakes, cookies, anything and everything. There was so much stuff. By the time I finally had like a cell phone or a camera and I took a picture of everything we had, it was a smaller holiday get together. We didn't have as many people and as many cousins that were there. And so it didn't really show you how much stuff we used to have back in the day.
Massive amounts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Showers 40 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. We will continue to see rain throughout the day. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki says 49 for our high temp. He'll be in shortly with more details. What food or dish reminds you of your mom or grandma's cooking? If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Time to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. 559, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stedman, and you. Oh, Justine's Grandma Kathy made the best cherry nut bars, Rice Krispie bars, mm-hmm. and Christmas sugar cookies. Food and dish that reminds you of your mom or grandma's cooking. Dave in Grand Rapids, good morning. He says everything from roasts, hams, turkey dinners, chicken dinners, his mom could cook. Mm. Hot dishes, too. She passed on the apron to him. Just nice. Ask his family. I love that. Susie says mom's chocolate pie and grandma's meatballs. Both fantastic.
See, Mike, was it both grandmothers or just Grandma Harms? They used to make, because us kids growing up, we were so picky. I mean, we didn't really care for cherry pie or apple pie because of the chunks of fruit in it or something. So a lot of times we would they would just make those like pudding pies. So it would be chocolate pudding crust is all it was. Mm-hmm. And they would do that one or butterscotch, I believe. And so us kids would just love that. If you put a little whipped cream on it or whatever, we thought that was the best thing ever. But it was nothing more than pudding inside of a graham cracker crust.
My mom would often do like strawberry shortcake too, because who doesn't like sponge cake or whatever you're using with Cool Whip and strawberries on it? Yeah, probably to please the little kids. Mm-hmm. Doug says all this food talk, we're making him hungry. Crash says anything hot dish. 6 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 6:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has rolled in. How long is this rain lasting today?
Rain? Not if you're out west.
Is there snow? Because you had mentioned that yesterday.
South of Jamestown, out around Vishek. They got a little bit of snow on the ground. A little bit
on the ground?
On the ground. A little bit of light snow on the ground.
Goodness. Well, so somebody, and I'm not sure exactly where they're at, but they just sent in a bunch of pictures asking if it's safe to put the plants back out and uncover the garden planter.
Nope, I'd wait.
how much longer?
Tonight would be the last night.
Okay.
And, I mean, we're going to stay above the freezing mark, but there could be some.
Depends on where you're at. Right,
yeah.
Right,
yep,
right.
Yep, yep. But, May 21st, snow on the ground out to the south of Jamestown. Mm. And that's where the steadier rain is. And again, that is mixing in with snow, and it is dusting the ground in some areas well to the west of the valley. We're not worried about that here. We're looking at 40 degrees. We've got light winds today, and that's a nice change. We did set a record yesterday, 1.47. So that goes down in the record books. The old record was 1908, when the Cubs won the World Series, we had 1.36.
And that was just for yesterday, but we've had more rain
since. That was just for yesterday, okay. Yeah. And now here at the studio, we've picked up 2.36 since this rain began about 36 hours ago. And today, not as wet as yesterday. It's not going to be that soaker, but it's not going to be a day where you're going to be outside, you know, playing with the kids, unless you're a duck. Drizzle, occasional showers throughout the area today, but again, we're not looking at a whole lot more in the way of precip, maybe a quarter inch more, and we're going to top out in the upper 40s with a northeast wind about 5 to 10. Cloudy skies tonight, down into the upper 30s, light winds, and sunshine returns for tomorrow. Tomorrow should be a pretty decent day. Sunny skies, light winds, highs in the upper 60s, and then Friday, for the start of some of our weekends, a little extended holiday weekend, upper 60s with partly cloudy skies on Friday.
What about some people probably maybe would like it a little warmer, but you can't complain with upper 60s.
You can complain.
I guess.
Well, the thing is, I mean, even with the upper 60s, we're not going to have a lot of wind.
Yeah.
So that's bonus.
That's decent weather.
Yeah.
You know, lakegoers probably want 80s.
I'm sure. But the weekend, the holiday weekend, I'll touch more on that. Coming up after the bottom of the hour.
Question of the morning. What food or dish reminds you of your mom or grandma's cooking?
Oh, boy. My mom made this. She called it risotto. It was like a Spanish rice dish that she got from her mom. And she made it in a cast iron skillet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was so good. I mean, just, and she usually made that with fried chicken.
Of course, right?
Oh, man.
Ooh,
that was usually our Sunday. That was our Sunday treat.
We always had fried chicken on Sundays, too. We'd get home from church and mom would fry up chicken.
Yeah. It must have been a Midwest thing or something.
Mashed potatoes, gravy, corn, usually every Sunday.
We'd have a roast in the oven or something.
You could get roast beef
or what. I just love the smell of roast beef because they'd put it in. We'd go to church. We'd come back, and the whole kitchen and everything just smells like roast beef. Then you make your mashed potatoes and gravy. Dad was great at making gravy, still is. And that's just every Sunday we'd have some type of meal like that. Ham, maybe a small turkey, you know, roast beef. That's just so good.
That's
on Sundays.
When families sat down for dinner. Yeah.
In my house, I mean, there was 9 of us. Grandma always ate with us 10, and then we'd have extended family. A couple of uncles and aunts from down the street would come down. We always had a house full of relatives.
That's good, though.
Oh, absolutely. I miss those days.
Right?
Families have spread across the country, just like your family, too. Everybody has spread across the country.
Yep. Illinois, Arizona.
Yeah. You had to go where the jobs were, I guess.
Normally.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Roger's saying a favorite food dish that reminds him of mom, a beef stew.
Oh.
But he said he loves seeing her scoop from the can of used grease on the stove because he knew whatever she was going to be making was going to be
Remember
good.
That, the old Crisco cans? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bacon grease they'd let sit there.
You reuse it?
Yeah.
Yep. And lard. I've never in my life used lard, but I remember Grandma used to use lard. Yeah. Mom did a little bit,
Some of
too,
the things, like our parents and their parents, how they cooked back then and how you cook now are just totally different.
Just especially when they tell you, oh, that's not good for you. So you look at your grandparents that are 90 years old, and you're like, it must not have been that bad.
Yeah, right?
And it tasted good, so there's that. 608, we are going to get your national news in from ABC. Crash is going to be calling final night, Veterans Honor Flight Meat Raffle, Wild Rice Bar and Grill, and then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 612. Big Game James McCarty is going to be joining us shortly, but first of all, we've got Crash on the line, final meat raffle, Wild Rice Bar and Grill tonight. Good morning to you, Crash.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good. Not the final one, but the final one of the season, right?
Yeah, we shut them down for the summer. So if you don't make it tonight, next chance is September.
Yeah. And how important are these meat raffles to raising money to send our veterans to Washington, D.C.? You guys pulling a good chunk of change doing these meat raffles?
We're doing pretty good. We're somewhere around $12,000 for the season.
And if you weren't making money, you wouldn't continue to do them.
That's correct. And then got to give a couple of shout-outs. The Knights of Columbus of Jamestown has donated the money to pay for the meats. So all the ticket sales is the profit. So
nice.
That helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our grand finale tonight. Regals and Moorhead gave us a 17 cubic foot upright freezer, and Meats by John and Wayne, Allsagers, and Prime Cut, and Holt Meats all gave me $100 gift cards. So turn that into $15,000. That's
wow.
That's 9.5 veterans to D.C. So that's, if we can make another 1,000 tonight, we can get that other veteran back home.
Yeah, that's that's incredible.
Leave him in Washington. Sorry, can't bring you back.
Yeah, that's incredible. You
know, we get enough to get him to Washington. He's got no place to stay or nothing to eat.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, hey.
Yeah, so we need to raise money to get him back, no doubt about it. All right, what do you have for meat tonight?
Well, we got... We always got the 2 10-pound slabs of bacon, and then Gourmet Games hooks me up with some jerky and beef sticks, 7 different flavors, 2 rounds of that. And then there's 3 rounds of a mystery round, and there's a couple guys in South Fargo over there by Home Depot have a little shop over there. And I got a variety of stuff. I got summer sausage. I got breakfast sausage. I got brats. I mean, you name it. It's $40 worth of meat. I do that 3 times. So there's a total of 7 rounds. And so for $7, you come home with $270 worth of meat.
There you go. 5:30 tonight, Wild Rice Bar and Grill.
Yep, come on out. It's dry inside, and they have ribs for supper.
Ooh. Oh, hello.
Go on.
You buy your own supper, though.
Oh, okay.
All right, thanks, Crash.
Yeah, yeah.
Good luck tonight. Hope you raise lots of money.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. 6:15, big game. James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports. Ribs sound good, don't they?
They sound incredible right now. I could use a rack or
I
two.
Love
or
ribs. Ah.
Maybe just whatever fits in the smoker at this point. last night, the Timberwolves, it was an up-and-down roller coaster. They were just sloppy with the basketball. They didn't shoot the ball particularly well. And then in the second half, it just seemed as though it was a bit of an avalanche where just sloppy mistakes turned into opportunities for OKC. And the Wolves, who were actually up 4 at the half, ended up getting outscored by 30 in the second half. And falling 114-88, Julius Randle had 28 points, 8 rebounds. 20 of those 28 points were in the first half. Anthony Edwards had 18 points and 9 rebounds. Antony had 2 points in the fourth quarter before they waved the white flag. And so now it's a best-of-7 series with the Thunder leading 1-0. Game 2 will be Thursday night at 7:30 on ESPN, as well as the Wolves trying even up that series before heading home this weekend, later on this weekend. For the Twins and Guardians, they were rained out for the second straight day. So what's going to happen now is last night's rained out game will be scheduled as part of a traditional doubleheader at Target Field. Not until the 20th of September, though. It's the next time Cleveland is in Minneapolis. So it'll turn a 3-game series into a 4-game set. And then this afternoon, as long as the conditions for the weather in Minneapolis hold out, the Twins and Guardians are scheduled for a 12:10 first pitch for Game 1, which is going to be a resume play from that game where the Twins were up 2-1 at the top of the fourth that was suspended on Monday. And then Game 2 to follow about a half hour later. They're shooting for about 2 p.m. on that one with an opportunity for Chris Paddock to be on the mound for the Twins. Just all around, just a kind of a goofy couple of days on the diamond, or lack thereof, with all the rain and weather that has been going on. As for the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks and Chicago Dogs, they were postponed because of weather as well. They're scheduled to have a doubleheader makeup tonight beginning at 6 p.m. There's 7 inning doubleheaders in the American Association, so a 6 p.m. start time with Game 2 about a half hour after that one concludes. We did have an NHL playoff Eastern Conference final matchup, game number 1 last night, the Florida Panthers over the Carolina Hurricanes, 5-2. Panthers now lead that best-of-7 series 1-0. Then on ESPN tonight, you're going to have a 7 p.m. puck drop for game 1 of the Western Conference final. The Dallas Stars take on the Edmonton Oilers, and Dallas won 2 of the 3 matchups in the regular season, including the most recent matchup, which is back on the 26th of March. Dallas had a 4-3 victory there. And tonight you're going to have in the Eastern Conference final for the NBA. That's on TNT. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off with the New York Knicks hosting the Indiana Pacers. The Knicks won 2 out of 3 matchups in the regular season, and their most recent meeting was all the way back in February the 11th, and the Knicks won that one 128-115. So an opportunity for a possible couple of great series to kick off tonight, just a matter of seeing how things transpire for them. And then as well tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will be joined by Dragon men's basketball assistant coach, still a GA to an extent, but also an assistant coach, Jack Thompson, right, as he's being elevated up with the new coaching staff, but he's finishing up his MBA here this summer with a couple of summer courses. And so we talk about the new team, the excitement, and what he's learned at this point, and also the new additions to the responsibilities that he has in year two with the staff.
I like to think of him already as assistant coach. He's moved past that grad assistant role.
I'm not giving it to him until August.
Oh, come on.
Hey, he doesn't finish his final summer course until August.
Who's the coach on campus right now holding things down? And it ain't no grad assistant.
Yeah, he's a survivor at this point is what he is.
He's the glue.
I've seen what his summer schedule has looked like to this point, and he hasn't slept in about 3 weeks.
No, he's been on.
But coach is on vacation. Coach Kemp this week is on vacation with his family, so they're allowing Jack to go home in a reasonable time this week.
They've gotten some verbal commits, so Coach already had his vacation plan when he was still at U of M, and so he was just like, you know what, I can still take this vacation with family. So I kind of like to think of assistant coach Jack Thompson as Jack from The Incredibles. He's got all kinds of different powers that he's got going on. He's recruiting. He's a skills development coach for the Dragons. He's also now, we found out that he'll have a kind of a specialty when it comes to coaching this season on the sidelines. And I'm really excited about Jack as a coach here for the Dragons. I think he's going to be fantastic.
I am as well. And so that new specialty Jace is talking about, I guess you're going to have to tune in tonight at 6:30 to find out what it is.
All right. Coming up 6:56 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We'll be showcasing this artist and this song. It told the story from the point of view of a Vietnam veteran returning home, only to see hatred, suffering, and injustice. What song is it? Which artist? We will tell you. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. We have an update to the story. A week or two ago, we talked about the fan that fell from the stands at Pittsburgh Pirates Stadium. Yep. There's an update to that story, and we'll talk more about that coming up next. 6:24, 2.36 inches of rain here at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. We set a record yesterday, Dino said, for rainfall, like 1.47 or something like that for the date.
Yeah, it was quite a bit yesterday.
Yeah, so rain continuing today, but we'll clear things off and see sunshine tomorrow. A couple weeks back, we talked about a 20-year-old man who fell from the stands during a Pittsburgh Pirates home game, fell 20 feet, rushed to the hospital. He was in critical condition. I guess they are seeing some improvement now. He had breathing tubes. Those have been removed. But nonetheless, he still has a long road ahead. It was suspected, based on his behavior, that he was likely drinking.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, he is 20.
Yep.
Underage drinking. Investigation found that the person that supplied the beer he had been drinking at the game was his buddy, who was 21 years old. They went back and, you know, they talked to people working there. They looked at the surveillance video, and they determined that his friend, who's 21, was supplying him with the alcohol. The name of the guy who's charged, Ethan Kirkwood of Meeksport, Pennsylvania. Apparently, he went back three different times for two rounds, and they were the 24-ounce cans.
Yep.
And police say the young man who fell and has been fighting for his life, Ethan Kirkwood, drank at least two of those, is what they determined through their investigation. We'll see how this all shakes out. His buddy is facing charges here, providing alcohol to a minor. He's got a track record for this, too. Alcohol-related things. Obviously, he's 21, but he's pleaded guilty to public drunkenness, and twice he got nabbed for a minor purchasing alcohol. These were incidents that happened in 2022 and 23. The criminal complaint alleges that his reputation for criminal activity bolsters the credibility that he was the one that supplied the alcohol to his buddy. So that's sad all around.
Yeah.
The good news is Ethan is improving, but who knows? He could have lifelong injuries here. You know, critical condition. He had breathing tubes, everything you were hooked up to, showing signs of improvement. But who knows what his life is going to be like here, you know, the rest of his life when he does get sprung out of the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, I had seen a video from someone in the stands behind, and you can see that the young man was jumping up to celebrate and just really overdid it and then lost his balance and fell over the edge. But, you know, when you're giving him alcohol, I mean, if anything, you got to make sure he can maintain control, because obviously if anything happens to him and you're the one buying the beer and he gets injured or he drives and causes a major accident or something, you're going to, you know, they're going to eventually find out you're the one responsible for getting him the alcohol. So, I mean, you're going to be in trouble. But it's just a sad story, because here was a young guy just trying to enjoy a ball game and probably in college. So, I mean, I'm not saying that he's not drinking. I'm not saying that people that are, you know, 19, 20 years old can't drink, because I think if you're 18 and you can vote, you can go to war, you can do all this stuff. I mean, I don't have a problem with 18, 19, 21-year-olds being able to legally drink.
But the law's the law.
The law's the law. And, you know, when you're providing alcohol and then an accident happens to an underage person, I mean, you're going to be in trouble. And it now his buddy that he was providing beers for, I mean, like you said, could have long-lasting effects from this injury. So.
Yep. I twisted the names around. Ethan is the one who's charged. He's charged with 2 counts of furnishing alcohol to somebody under 21. He's accused of buying the beer for his friend, Kevin, who remains hospitalized. So we'll see, too. And, I mean, you potentially could see lawsuit filed here, too, by the family to, you know, pay for his long-term care, I guess. He's already been hospitalized for, well, it happened last month, so you're talking at least 3 weeks. I can't remember the exact date of when this happened, but, yeah, not cool.
Nope.
And that's obviously has changed two lives. And on the national front, they have rounded up another inmate who escaped the Orleans Parish Justice Center in New Orleans. 10 of them escaped over the weekend. Now 5 have been rounded up. And these are people with serious track records. They either had been convicted of or facing charges, gun-related violence, several murders here, too. Spotted splitting in the French Quarter. A lot of them were caught on surveillance video, but they're only halfway there to rounding up all these people. They did arrest a custodian yesterday. They went and raided his house and took him into custody because apparently they knew that there was some help on the inside that the inmates had getting out. There was like, they got out behind a toilet or whatever where the water apparently was shut off.
I forget. I thought I saw something that said that these inmates had threatened the custodian. Was that
That's
correct?
What he claims.
Oh, okay.
But even so, I saw like the district attorney or county attorney, whatever attorney was handling it, saying you could have reported it to channels, right? You just don't take things into your own hand. No. If you were threatened, well, then you tell your bosses, your supervisors that I was threatened. So we'll see how that shakes out. But like I said, 5 of the 10 now in custody, but they're continuing to search around the clock for the other 5. It is 6:30. 6:33, rain still coming down, and, you know, even seeing some snow down in Vishek.
Vishek has a little bit of snow on the ground there this morning.
And on the ground. That's crazy. Not just flakes in the air. No. On the ground.
Well, and that was from some overnight snow. That'll all melt off.
But still.
I know. And rainfall across the area was pretty impressive. Hey, you know what? If the weather is crappy, you might as well make something out of it in terms of putting it down in the record books, and we did. 1.47 inches officially out at the airport. That does set a record for yesterday for daily rainfall, and other rainfall totals ranged from, from up and down the valley, about 1 inch to 1 1/3 inches. You get down out towards Lakes Country, Otter Tail County, much of the county picking up 2 to 2 1/3 inches of rain. But then you go not far away, Mayville, Cooperstown up through Devil's Lake Basin, about, you know, 3/4 of an inch, 1/2 inch to 3/4 of an inch. And you go Jamestown southward and about an inch of rain. So widespread rain across the entire state, which is great, great news. 40 degrees right now. In fact, everybody's between 40 and 42. With a light northeast breeze, and we'll see drizzle, occasional shower here and there. Nothing widespread or as heavy as yesterday here in the FM area, but it's still going to be wet with highs in the upper 40s and a northeast wind on the light side. Cloudy tonight, upper 30s, and for Thursday, sunshine returns. Wind's not that bad, north at about 5 to 15, and highs in the upper 60s. A beautiful day, really, tomorrow. Start to dry things out. And then Friday, partly cloudy, northeast winds 5 to 15 and highs in the upper 60s. For the upcoming holiday weekend, it looks like temperatures in the upper 60s Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and only about a 20% chance of those pop-up afternoon showers with the heating of the day you get.
Oh, afternoon is good because you'll have ceremonies on Monday
afternoon,
for Memorial Day.
Afternoon and evening would be the best chance for any pop-up showers because there's a lot of cold air that'll be aloft. And once the heating of the day progresses, you get those cumulus clouds to build up in afternoon and evening. And that could spit out a few light sprinkles or showers over the holiday weekend. But all in all, no big organized areas of rain. That was yesterday, and temperatures finally starting to warm up. We should be in the low 70s this time of the year. We won't be too far off, upper 60s, as we head into the weekend. Today's the chilliest day.
For the 40s. Weekend, too, it's probably not enough to be, like, steamy or any muggy or anything.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah. A pleasant Memorial Day weekend, not totally dry, but pretty darn nice. Not too bad.
All right, and depending on where you're at, maybe leave those plants covered again tonight.
I would, yeah, especially from, let's say, the Iron Range up through Lake of the Woods. Because
that's the coldest part.
Well, yes, because they're not getting affected by this storm. In fact, they're seeing clear skies. So once that settles in at night, that's going to, So,
but locally areas, here in the FM area, we're not going to see any more frost.
Okay. No, we're good.
All right, thank you, Dino.
You bet.
6:36, we are going to get your national news in now from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:41, Big Game James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Timberwolves had a very up and down game one of the Western Conference final last night, including a half where they were leading by 4 going into the break, and they ended up getting outscored by 30 points though in the second half, nice. Unfortunately falling 114-88. 28 points from Julius Randle, 20 in the first half. Anthony Edwards only had 18 points, 2 in the fourth quarter before the white flag was waved. OKC now with a 1-0 series lead, and you'll end up with game 2 on Thursday night at 7:30 on ESPN. The other conference final that is out east, the New York Knicks are hosting the Indiana Pacers tonight in game 1. 7 p.m. is tip-off on TNT. And in the NHL's postseason, you had last night the Florida Panthers take down the Carolina Hurricanes 5-2 to take a 1-0 series lead. Tonight on ESPN, the Dallas Stars host the Edmonton Oilers in game 1 of the Western Final in the NHL. 7 p.m. on ESPN is when the puck will drop for that matchup. Not a ton of luck if you're a baseball fan so far this week with the Twins being rained out for the second straight night against the Guardians last night. They will now have a traditional doubleheader on September 20th to make up last night's rainout. And today, as long as field conditions are playable and the weather holds off, they're scheduled to resume play for Monday night's game at 12:10 this afternoon. That Twins are leading 2-1 in that game in the top of the fourth inning when they resume it. And then they'll have game 2 of that doubleheader will be about a half hour after the conclusion of game 1. Same thing for the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks and Chicago Dogs at Newman Outdoor Field. It's all going to come down to playable field conditions or not, and also the rainfall that we do or do not get today. As of right now, first pitch is scheduled for 6 p.m. tonight, a 7-inning doubleheader with game 2 beginning 30 minutes after the conclusion of game 1, as long as we can even get off to a start here tonight is the biggest thing with that. So we're hopeful at this point that we'll be able to make that happen. And if so, awesome. If not, well, we're really going to have some scheduling issues moving forward because you got to get all those games in, especially the divisional matchups like what the Twins and Guardians currently have with Minnesota leading both Cleveland and Kansas City by a half a game for second in the division. But Kansas City's played three more games than the Twins at this point because they have not been rained out the last 2 days like Minnesota and Cleveland have been. The Guardians have actually played four less games than the Royals at this point, too. So just a really odd spot in the schedule with all the rain that we've been looking for the last 3 months all coming at once, I suppose. Also at 6:30 tonight, Primetime Sports with Jason and I will be joined by Dragon Men's Basketball Assistant Coach Jack Thompson talking about returning to the program for a second season, some of his new responsibilities, and the excitement of bringing in a new recruiting class with the opportunities for some freshmen and some more experienced upperclassmen to make impacts this upcoming season. Pebble Lake Golf Club in Fergus Falls combines the beauty of nature and the challenge of a championship course, and you can book a tee time online at playpebblelake.com.
All right, Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. It is 6:45, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Are you 55 or better and ready to make a fresh start? Well, Prairie Ridge Apartments in Fargo, they make it easy and more affordable than ever to move. They've got brand new two-bedroom apartments. You can enjoy spacious, modern living with room for your guests. Maybe you want a hobby room or a home office. You can do that. May move-in special, so hurry up here. You can receive exclusive discounts, including lower rents and your first month free.
They have private patios on every unit so you can enjoy the outdoors from the comfort of your own home. They have a stress-free moving support system. You can get benefit from a moving voucher and helpful resources to make your transition that much easier. If, you know, it's raining like it is yesterday and into today, you can take a virtual tour. And if you do that, they'll even give you a voucher for a lunch delivered to your home while you go through that virtual tour. It is a pet-friendly community, and it's also very welcoming and friendly. It's more than just apartments. It's a true community where neighbors are going to become friends. There is limited availability. Apartments are filling up quickly, so you need to contact Maya at 701-425-3574 or go online at lcpropertymanagement.org to learn more and schedule your tour.
All right, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you. This power school breach, any of us who have had kids in school, say in the past, you know, currently or within the past 10 years, a lot of the schools nationwide use power school, including those locally. We got a message that there was a breach and, you know, your child's information could be at risk, or your family's information could be at risk. There has been an arrest made. A Massachusetts man, he's 19 years old, has agreed to plead guilty to hacking into PowerSchool, and it sounds like there might be one more suspect, but at this point, a 19-year-old that they have identified, he's agreed to sign this plea deal. It looks like he's potentially facing more than 9 years in prison for this.
I could believe that.
But that's pretty quick that they made progress and an arrest on that.
I mean, sometimes it doesn't seem like they ever make progress that quickly. And for him to be singled out and found out and then obviously agree to probably somewhat of a plea agreement, I mean, that's good news for those of us that had our kids' information potentially stolen.
According to the complaint, an NBC News story says this young man was responsible for hacking into PowerSchool. It doesn't make clear, though, the complaint, whether he or another person or group was responsible. So more investigation underway. There is another unnamed co-conspirator. Mm-hmm. So at least one more person likely who will be charged here. 6:48 Flatland Music Flashback coming up right around 6:56. It was on this date in entertainment history. Alice Cooper left something behind in his hotel room. Probably maybe wouldn't have been a big deal, but this something slithered away and where it ended up. We'll tell you. Flatland Music Flashback coming up 6:56. Stand by. We head back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1977. This singer started a 3-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with his tribute to Duke Ellington. Find out who that was and what song it was coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
Time for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar Music Store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
1971, Marvin Gaye released his 11th studio album, What's Going On? Which usually is something, that's something I say around the office a lot of times, Bonnie.
Yeah, you do.
It contained 9 songs and told the story from the point of view of a Vietnam veteran returning to the country he had been fighting for, only to see hatred, suffering, and injustice.
Yeah. What's Going On is regarded as one of the landmark recordings in pop music history and one of the greatest albums of the 20th century.
Hmm.
Oh, I thought he was going to sing the chorus. My bad. 1975, after a show in Knoxville, Tennessee, the one and only Alice Cooper left one of his stage props, which happened to be a 13-foot boa constrictor, in the hotel bathroom, where it escaped down the toilet.
A snake showed up 2 weeks later in a room that was occupied by country singer Charlie Pride. Cooper learned to put the lid down after that incident. That's funny.
Do you really need to bring it with you?
It was a stage prop.
I know. In 1977, Stevie Wonder started a 3-week run at number 1 on the U.S. singles chart with his tribute to Duke Ellington. Sir Duke was the 6th U.S. number 1.
Wonder's been blind since shortly after birth. Former child prodigy is considered one of the most critically and commercially successful performers of the late 20th century.
1983, David Bowie went to number 1 on the U.S. singles chart with Let's Dance. Song featured blues guitarist Stevie Ray Vaughan.
There you go. It was Bowie's first single to reach number 1 on both sides of the Atlantic. This is a monster hit.
It was. Is this when we first kind of were introduced to Adele, this album?
Yeah, I think Chasing Pavements may have been our first big one, like on Saturday Night Live or something. But this was a monster hit.
Yeah, 2011, Adele went to number 1 on the U.S. singles chart with Rolling in the Deep. The video to the song was nominated for 7 MTV Video Music Awards.
Rolling in the Deep was also the Billboard Year-End Hot 100 Single of the Year. It received 3 Grammys for Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best Short Form Music Video. We see you guys dancing along with us. Yeah. Who hasn't done this at a wedding dance?
A wedding dance, college dances. I mean, you'd be out on the dance floor at the one bar in Vermillion that had a dance floor. Having a birthday today, Ron Isley of the Isley Brothers is 84. Ooh. They had a big hit with Shout in 1959. The song reached number 47 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. The song is in the Grammy Hall of Fame and makes Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest songs of all time.
If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. 7 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 7:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with another rainy day forecast.
Yeah, not as bad as yesterday, though. And you know what? Like I said earlier, if the weather's going to be crappy, you might as well put it in the record books, and we did yesterday. Mm-hmm. 1.47 inches here in Fargo. Some other area totals, Corey emailed me from Rutland, 1.09 inches. Thank you, Corey. We've got 1.38 in Wahpeton. Let's see here. Out in Ottertail County, many areas, 2 2 1/3 inches. You go north, Northern Valley. We're looking at about 1 to 1 1/3 inches. Same with Southern Valley, a little more, about 1 1/3 to 1 3/4 inches. And from Mayville through Cooperstown up through Devil's Lake Basin, about 3/4 of an inch, so a little lighter out there. And then around 1 inch from Jamestown south towards Vishick, where they have snow on the ground this morning.
Crazy.
Yeah, man, no thanks. We're looking at a drizzle, a few showers today, but nothing heavy like we had yesterday. Highs only in the upper 40s with a northeast wind at 5 to 10. Additional rainfall today, maybe up to 1/4 inch, if
when,
that.
When do you think it'll be done? Like late afternoon?
It'll be done this evening at 5:48 and 30 seconds.
I wanted to walk the dog at that time.
Well, then there you go. 5:48 and 30 seconds, the rain will be done tonight. Then we'll be left with cloudy skies overnight with lows in the upper 30s, northwest wind at 5 to 10. And tomorrow is really going to be, I'll call it the pick day. A lot of sunshine, north winds at 5 to 10. Or 5 to 15, I should say, and highs in the upper 60s tomorrow. Pretty nice day. Light winds on Friday. In fact, light winds all the way through the weekend. That's the nice bonus. Highs in the upper 60s on Friday. We'll stay in the upper 60s through the weekend, and there is about a 20% chance of pop-up afternoon or evening shower Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but nothing widespread. If you have outdoor plans, you're going to squeeze them in. Again, it's just those random pop-up showers that may develop late in the day. So roll the dice. If you have outdoor plans, you'll get them in this weekend. No widespread event. That will be down to our south into the Central Plains.
All right.
So not a bad-looking holiday weekend forecast.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Dino.
You bet.
Weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. Time is now 7:05. We got to check on your national news when we return. A sports update from Big Game James McCarty.
7:09. Big Game James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY Radio Sports.
An absolute discombobulation of a sports in the local Minnesota scene last night with the Timberwolves. Well, they shot 29% from three. The most three-point field goal attempts in a postseason game in franchise history, 51. And they hit a whopping 15 of them. So you can't blame just one guy. Everybody decided to clank it off the iron last night. The Wolves were actually up 4 at the half before blowing that lead, being outscored by 30 in the second half and falling 114-88. Julius Randle did have 28 points. Ant-Man had 18. That's the second time this postseason that Anthony Edwards has been held under 20 points, including Game 5 against the Lakers, which was the closeout game for the Wolves. And now the Thunder lead that series 1-0. Wolves try and dig themselves out of a hole Thursday night at 7:30 on ESPN in Oklahoma City.
Some numbers for you, James. So the Wolves shot just a tick less than 22% from the three-point line in the second half.
Yep.
Oklahoma City shot 61.5% in the second half. And then overall from the field, the Wolves shot 35% from the field, which is less than ideal. But Oklahoma City shot 62% from the field in the second half, and they were 62% from the field in both the third and the fourth quarters. So that doesn't help anything for the Wolves.
Well, that's just kind of how it goes. So hopefully they can rebound tomorrow evening, because if they come back home with a 2-0 series hole, that's the same spot that they put themselves in last year against Dallas, and we know how that ended up shaking out. Twins and Guardians were rained out for the second straight night last night. So last night's game is going to be rescheduled as part of a doubleheader on Saturday, September 20th. So it'll turn a three-game weekend series against the Guardians at Target Field into a four-game series late in the regular season. And today, as long as the field conditions are playable, the Twins and Guardians are set to resume Monday night's game that was postponed at 12:10 this afternoon. It's the top of the fourth inning with a 2-1 lead for the Twins. And then game two would take place a half hour after the conclusion of game one if they can get it off. The Redhawks and Dogs, of course, at Newman Outdoor Field last night, they were rained out because of the, what do we get, like 2.3 inches, did I hear, of rain? It was you weren't playing at Newman Outdoor last night if you wanted to. And hopefully the field conditions are playable enough tonight to get a doubleheader off. And the American Association, their doubleheaders are 7 innings, though. And so they're shooting for a 6 p.m. first pitch of game one with game two to follow about a half hour later from that one. The other conference final in the NBA, that is the New York Knicks hosting the Indiana Pacers. Game one is tonight at 7 o'clock. Game coverage available nationally on TNT. And in the NHL, their conference finals began last night as well. There was the Eastern Conference with the Florida Panthers taking down the Carolina Hurricanes 5-2 to take a 1-0 series lead tonight. The Western Conference final begins with the Dallas Stars hosting the Edmonton Oilers with puck drop at 7 o'clock. Game coverage available nationally on ESPN. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I joined by Dragon Men's Basketball Assistant Coach Jack Thompson talking about returning for a second year with the program, his new duties on the team, and the excitement surrounding what is going to be really just over about 60% of a new roster. Six returners, one incoming freshman that had already signed previously, and then a half a dozen or so, give or take a guy or two, newcomers coming in between recruits and transfers, things of those sorts. And Jack has been working his tail off of the coaching staff, and he hasn't slept in about 3 weeks. So we told him we'll get out of his office yesterday late afternoon after we talked with him to let him go and take a nap, because it's well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
And over the next couple of days, you'll be seeing the fruits of the labor that he's been working through over the past month or so since being elevated in the coaching staff.
7:13, University of Maryland holding commencement tomorrow night. We'll have details on that.
Was that in the article, or did you make that up?
No, it was in the article.
Okay.
We'll talk about it next. 7:16, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel is going to be joining us shortly. A lot of colleges, universities holding graduation ceremonies have and will be. University of Maryland is holding commencement tomorrow night.
If you think about it, you've got MSUM with the You Betcha guy speaking at commencement. Yeah. You had University of Wisconsin having Charlie Behrens talk, who's another, I don't know, social media influencer, little short videos, etc. Does some stand-up as well. And so, you know, a lot of times these schools, they want to find somebody interesting and entertaining, and it's not always going to be like,
They'll be like politicians or actors or singers.
I want to say at one point in time, I would bet money that the University of South Dakota had Tom Brokaw there as a speaker one year.
Because
he was a graduate of USD. So there's always some famous people here and there that went to school at certain places or is at least from the state. So
this is a
what would be the connection on this one?
This is something you will not forget if you're graduating or you're in the crowd there. Jim Henson, who was, you know, Muppets creator.
Yes.
He earned his degree from the University of Maryland in 1960. Majored in home economics, which is weird. But as part of that, he and his wife took a freshman puppetry class in there for his career took off. So they are having Kermensment, not commencement, Kermensment. Kermit the Frog is going to deliver what will be his first commencement address in nearly 30 years.
Will he have somebody holding him there at the podium?
No, he's just going to show up on his own, bouncing around like Kermit the Frog. How cool is that? How cool is that? You're not going to forget that.
No.
Kermit's message to grads this year, take the proverbial leap into opportunity. And remember that this big step into adulthood doesn't mean leaving behind your inner child. Maybe we're at our best when we allow ourselves to continue to grow and learn something new every day.
Well, if you think about that in a sense of when we look at our kids, especially when they're young, their imagination and creativity is amazing. And as we get older, it feels like that imagination and creativity for a lot of us kind of tones down and we're not as creative as we could be. We don't have the imagination we once did where we would imagine all these scenarios or
you get busy and you're adulting.
Yeah. And so obviously that is an important point because if you can keep that inner child within you, you know, number one, you're always going to stay young at heart. Mm-hmm. And number two, you're never going to lose that imagination and be able to be creative and do things that maybe you wouldn't be able to do if you just got stuck in a 9-to-5 job that you're just like, I'm just trying to make it through the day.
This would be so cool. Kermit hopes the grads that keep that sophisticated childlike sense of curiosity and imagination and innovation as they travel down their paths. Oh, that is like you never forget something like that. Don't you think that would have been cool to have Kermit the Frog given your commencement speech?
Maybe, because it probably would have made it so that I remembered my college commencement. I don't remember.
I didn't walk because Amistadi starts with an A, and there was like, I don't know, 400 some students at St. Cloud State that quarter because we did quarters back then. I'm like, I have no patience. I'm not sitting through 400 some students. You can just, I earned it. You can just mail it to me, and they did it.
No, each one of us, we. Excuse me. We all walked for graduation. I don't know. I don't remember if my sister walked for her master's degree because and I didn't finish my master's, so I didn't get to walk a second time. But I know that each one of us, when we got our bachelor's degree, we all walked. I don't think my brother did any kind of graduate school.
My folks were busy running the greenhouse. They wouldn't have been able to make it anyway. So it's like, no, I earned it. I knew I earned it. Just mail it to me, and then I don't have to sit through hundreds of people.
Well, you know, the nice part for me when I graduated from undergrad, though, that was a big thing for our family because I was the first one in on the Denman side because there's 3, 6, 8 of us grandkids. I was the first grandchild to graduate from college.
It is a big deal,
So, I mean, sometimes it's a big deal for that. But, yeah, we sat through all these other people. And I remember getting in trouble at my sister's graduation because she was the second one in my family because she's the middle child. Mm-hmm. I remember kind of ducking under the little rope or whatever where all the graduates are sitting because I saw my old roommate because where I was going to sit, you know, for my sister's graduation, I saw my old roommate, Roger. So I, like, ducked under there, started talking to him. They're like, you got to get back and sit down. I'm like, okay, sorry.
Quit talking. Go sit down.
Exactly.
Something sticky. Adjuvants. I don't even know what that is. In your spraying fields, WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel knows, and she has details straight ahead.
7:22, we head out to the farm with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. How you doing this morning, Bridget?
Fabulous, folks. Okay, so it's a little wet out there.
Yeah.
Just
a little.
Okay. Little. And with a high of only 49 degrees, we're not going to be racing out to a field to spray anything because it's just too wet and muddy. But when we do, one of the other reasons we would want to wait for the sunshine to come out is because when you put herbicides onto fields right now, it stresses the plant. They're cold. They don't need that. It's like if you and I were already chilled and somebody tossed a cold shower on us, no, that's not going to make my mood any better. And it's the same for those corn plants out there. So what you're going to do is wait for the sun to come out till things are actively growing, not only our crop, but our weeds as well. Well, there's a company out there called AgZen. They were founded in 2020, and they are using two different core products now. One of them is called Real Coverage, and it's a system that uses artificial intelligence. Remember, I know I have to specify which AI I'm talking about here. So they're using the artificial intelligence to optimize sprayer settings, nozzle selection, pressure, boom height, droplet size, etc. And by doing that, they believe they can reduce some of the inputs used by 40 to 50%. And by inputs, I mean their herbicide use rates. So when you're using all of those right settings, it means you're optimizing the best coverage, the best efficiency within the plant. But then they also have something else called enhanced coverage, special nozzle that will cloak the chemical droplets with adjuvants that dramatically improves the ability to stick to the plant. So why does that matter? All right, I want you to envision it's a beautiful sunny day. We're out there in the field with our soybeans, and we've just sprayed them, and we've used this enhanced coverage. What it does then is because the molecule that we're spraying, the herbicide, is cloaked and it's sticky. It stays on the plant leaf. So as the sun comes out and the plant opens up to the sunshine, it warms up, it wants to take in more sunshine, more air, and it opens its cuticle layers. And when it does that, then the herbicide can go in through the cuticle, it can go into the leaf, it can then work its way through the rest of the plant, and it can then kill that weed and take it out so that the crop doesn't have that competition.
That's smart.
That's a sticky adjuvant.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart. How is this sticky adjuvant? Is it put into the herbicide, or is it added as it's spraying out?
As it's spraying out. Okay. It's a special nozzle that would cloak each droplet as they come out.
And so you have to have a separate tank then for this sticky adjuvant?
So I think you do. I think there would have to be a way that because I didn't show me a diagram for it, but I think there would have to be a way that there's a smaller tank that would have this sticky adjuvant that would cloak to it. Now, traditionally, we add our adjuvants to the spray tank. So they're like a molecule that's side by side with our herbicide molecule that would go together. And you'd hope that they would form that relationship in the tank and they would go out together and stick to the leaf. Here, we're talking about a mechanical way of doing it by wrapping one around the other.
Ah, okay.
So I'd be curious to see how they can show me what that looks like on a sprayer. Now, they're doing it on small scale, but if I've got a 1,200-gallon sprayer with the 90-foot or 120-foot of booms ready to go down the field, show me how this is going to work, right? I need to see more.
Now, the other question I have then related to this is that when you put that sticky adjuvant around that molecule and it sticks to the plant, is there anything with that sticky adjuvant that causes maybe a delay in that being absorbed by the plant? Because it's helping it stick there. I get that part, but is it going to slow down the processing of that chemical by the plant?
No. It's an ultra thin, environmentally safe oil layer is what it is. So because of the thinness of it, and I could give you an example of like how thin balloons can be and when you wrap around them. Because of the thinness of it, it would not be held up, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That encapsulation would hold it in place, but it would not prevent it from entering the plant.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And that's a really good question because I think about that in fertilizer. We have some microencapsulated fertilizers where they need to have that coating cracked or penetrated by moisture in order for that to be released for availability to the plant. So it does happen.
Yeah.
Students with North Dakota and Minnesota are now entering a farm robotics challenge. What are some of the things that they're doing? Well, North Dakota State University, they built a robot that's thermal. It uses hot water to effectively kill weeds. So it's more of an eco-friendly situation, right? You want to get rid of this weed? We're just going to walk by and scald it. Now, this robot takes a tankless water heater for energy efficiency and then a water tank for balance, and then it has vision sensors and controlled nozzles for targeted application. It has a database in its brain, if you will, that can identify what's not a crop, and so that way it could control the specific weeds seen in the field.
Yeah.
Then secondly, they have another one that would be a robot that can do stand counts. It has enough vision, if you will. And a stand count means it can count however many plants are in the row to determine the populations in the entire field. It can also search for sunflower disease by looking specifically for symptomology on the plant leaves. These robots are about $100,000, but they're still cheaper than some of the other methods that are out there, which could include having to buy larger sprayers, that type of thing. And they've built this database of over 10 million weed images and crop images so that the robots would know the difference. One place that I can see a fit for this larger robot that's out there scouting, maybe picking weeds, if you will, is when our crop gets to a certain stage, you don't spray herbicides anymore because the crop is too big and you have to get to harvest. Well, what we can do is use a robot to hand weed it literally so that we don't have to worry about that interval, that spray interval before harvest.
All the technology and inventions, those young kids who grew up on the farm, mom and dad made them go get their college degree, go, you know, get some knowledge, invent things, and now they're going back and bringing it back to the farm and other farmers.
I would tell you this, I wish I had that database before I started spraying beans that year, because I think the first day I was hosing down a soybean plant as opposed to a weed because I was
didn't know.
I was an idiot.
Yeah, well, you know, you learn.
Yeah, exactly.
You learn the hard way. So, yes, and I wish I could say that we didn't need all of this technology, but we just don't have the same size families and labor source to draw from all the time to do the things we've done in the past.
And the ag community is evolving so that you can do more with less, number one, and to automate some of this stuff and have weed-killing robots or tractors that basically can be autonomous and go through your fields. I mean, eventually, that will make things a lot easier for the family farm to continue to be productive and get produce as much crop as they have in the past.
But look, if we're going to talk about matters of efficiency, I think it's far more efficient for me to be able to run a planter than it would be to have to pick rock.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
Yeah,
right?
you got to
figure out what are the jobs that should be assigned to the technical person or the robot. So there's a difference.
There you go.
Well, we're going to talk about cows today on Weather and Ag in Focus. Lisa Peterson's going to join us. She's the NDSU Livestock Extension Specialist. I want to talk about water quality in particular. If you think about Western North Dakota, where they were already calling the well diggers to get more water availability for some cattle because stock ponds were looking terrible. They may have also had blue-green algae in them. And now we got 7 inches of rain near Dickinson. What is that going to do to water quality? Well, we'll find out with Lisa today. So please join us from 1 to 2 o'clock on Weather and Ag in Focus. Send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com. I appreciate all the ones I've gotten since yesterday when we had on the professional ag ladies. And please send those questions. The ladies would like to answer them in time.
There you go. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. It is 731. 733, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on your forecast.
And we are looking at cloudy, drizzly, foggy conditions out there this morning. We picked up 1.47 inches of rain yesterday. That does set a record. And most of our area picked up between 1 and 2 inches of rain. Slightly lighter amounts far northwestern part of the county, up through, out through Cooperstown and into the Devil's Lake Basin. Those areas picked up about 3/4 to 8/10 of an inch, but widespread rain across the entire area with the heavier amounts in Lakes Country, where they picked up 2 to 2 1/3 inches of rain. Leftover drizzle, a few showers here and there today. Nothing steady or heavy like it was yesterday. Highs, though, not going far. 49, that's it, with a northeast wind at 5 to 10. Clouds tonight with lows in the upper 30s. And then sunshine returns for your Thursday with light winds and highs in the upper 60s. In fact, we'll carry lighter winds, 5 to 15. That's pretty light as we head into the holiday weekend. Friday looks dry, upper 60s. We'll stay in the upper 60s through the weekend, but we'll see late afternoon or evening pop-up showers possibility both Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Again, nothing widespread. If you have outdoor plans this weekend, you'll get them in, but you might have to dodge a few raindrops here and there as well. Any warm weather? It looks like we do start to warm up later next week as we rise up into the 70s. So that's a little more like it for this time of the year. But even this upcoming weekend, not bad. I know it's a little cooler than it should be, not by much, upper 60s. And as long as you have light winds and we've got some sun out, hey, that's not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah, all right. We'll take it.
All right. Thank
could
you, Dino.
You
worse.
Have no choice.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Could be far worse.
It could be a lot worse. Yeah, exactly.
Weather sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated for over 40 years with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now 7:34. We got to check on the national news. We come back, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty, and still to come, your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki and Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, Brian and
Brian Kronk joins us with your money and markets.
7:37, Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins and Kronk, joining us 7:45. Right now, your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
It's wet outside, so that's not good for outdoor baseball.
Nice observation, yes. Jimmy.
Hey, about 2 inches of rain this week so far is not making Newman Outdoor Field very playable.
Yeah.
All right, the Red Hawks and Dogs had the first game of their series postponed. Well, delayed at the very least. They're scheduled for a 7-inning traditional doubleheader tonight beginning at 6 o'clock, with Game 2 being 30 minutes after the conclusion of Game 1. Red Hawks are 6-3 in the young year. The Dogs enter at 3-7, but it's all a matter of if they can get the field conditions playable and if this rain starts to hold off at some point throughout today. Same with the Twins and Guardians. They were rained out for the second straight day last night, actually, as they now have a couple of doubleheaders. They rescheduled a doubleheader to Saturday, September 20th, now turning a 3-game weekend series at Target Field to a 4-game weekend series. And they also are going to resume play at 12:10 this afternoon, barring field conditions and the weather being available, making the game available. 12:10 in the top of the fourth inning with the Twins leading 2-1, and then Game 2 would be about a half hour after that one, as long as they can get locked and loaded for that. Otherwise, you're really going to get yourself into a pickle if we're not able to play today. So we'll see if they're able to or not. On the hardwood last night, the Timberwolves found themselves, well, shooting awful, actually. So the Wolves lose 114-88. They led by 4 at the half. They got outscored by 30 in the second half, 70-40, to get to that 26-point defeat. The Wolves shot 35% from the field, 29% from 3, and 71% from the free throw line, along with turning over the ball 17 times. Whereas the Thunder only turned it over 12 times and shot 50% from the field, 52% from 3, and 81% from the free throw line. So the Wolves got outclassed in every category, including laying on the ground last night. But regardless, Game 2 of this 7-game series will be in Oklahoma City on Thursday night, 7:30 on ESPN. The Wolves can have an opportunity to prevent digging themselves into a hole in this Western Conference final. Eastern Conference Final begins tonight in New York as the Knicks host the Pacers at 7 o'clock. Game coverage available nationally on TNT. And in the NHL's Conference Finals, the East began last night with the Florida Panthers over the Carolina Hurricanes 5-2. And the Dallas Stars will host the Edmonton Oilers in Game 1 tonight at 7 o'clock. Game coverage available nationally on ESPN. Running out sports here this hour, primetime sports tonight at 6:30. Jason I, joined by Dragon Men's Basketball graduate assistant turned assistant coach Jack Thompson, and some of the new roles and responsibilities he will have on his plate this upcoming season as he returns for year 2 in the Dragon Men's Basketball coaching staff.
7:40, thanks for hanging out with us here on Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will have your 3-degree guarantee coming up next, and then Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us with a market update and insight. 7:44, time now for your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. It's brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
All right. We were going 47 yesterday.
That is correct.
Yep. We hit 46.
Good job, Dean.
Right. That's it. Today we're going to go 49, so pretty similar to yesterday. Drizzle, a few isolated hit and miss showers, nothing widespread like we had yesterday, but still kind of a yuck day with the fog and drizzle and occasional showers today. But the sun does come out tomorrow. That's what Annie told us.
Yeah, yeah, she
and,
did.
And she wasn't lying. Tomorrow's going to be a nice day. Sunshine, light winds, and highs in the upper 60s. But today's 3-degree guarantee, 49. Chilly degrees.
All right. 49 degrees. Is
book it, baby. Book the mortgage on this one.
Yeah, I think he's over playing his hand there. That 3-degree guarantee is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins and Kronk, joins us next with a market update and insight. 7:47, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins and Kronk, joining us now in studio. So last week when you were here, we were seeing a lot of positivity in the markets. I think it's still doing fairly good.
It's doing fantastic. Good. I love it. The markets are up. Think about this. We went down so fast in that correction. You know, it kind of started out like, yeah, this is nothing. And then, boom, we were down. It was huge. Who would have ever thought we'd come back that fast? We're back 22% to the upside in less than a month. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool to see that we've recovered most of that correction and put people back where they were. And we're still seeing earnings come out from some of these companies that's boosting stocks, you know, higher yet, moving things higher. Last couple of days have been a little bit lower in the market, and that's fine. We want to see a little bit of profit taking, but if we can just level out here and hold where we're at, kind of move sideways, I think that sets the stage for another leg even higher from here. Things just look so fantastic right now. It's hard to fight that.
I wanted to ask you, though, about the Moody's downgrade of the U.S. credit rating. Does that concern you?
Not at
all. No. Interesting.
So, yeah, it's sort of a big nothing burger. So the other two rating agencies had already reduced our debt a long time ago. And, we're talking years ago. Why these guys didn't, I don't know. But you know how much credit I paid to these rating agencies? Almost zero, because these are the same rating agencies that told us all these mortgage-backed securities were great, you know, back that caused the dot-com bubble to blow up. That was, you know, no earnings from those companies. What caused the 2008-09 financial crisis was people believing that these pieces of paper that they had from the banks were good because Moody's and those companies told them they were, when really they weren't. And now they want us to care about their rating downgrades and things like that. They've lost a lot of credibility over time.
What's the Magnificent Seven? The Magnificent Seven has rebounded.
It's a great movie.
It's a great
I don't know what this is.
Thinking about the Dirty Dozen. Yeah, I always get those mixed up. So the Mag Seven, that's been what's leading the market for the last couple of years. So that's the FANG stocks, if you remember us talking about that, Bonnie, that we, you know, Facebook, Amazon, and Google, and I can't even remember them all. Netflix. There you go.
F-A-N-G, right?
So there should be three more we're missing, because that wasn't enough to encompass them all. And so now they just call it the Magnificent Seven.
Oh.
But the idea was, when the market was just shooting higher for quite a while there, those were the only seven stocks that were really leading things higher. They were dragging everything else along. Now that we've had a correction, it's a much broader market rally. We're moving forward at a much better clip, and much more stocks are, you know, participating in that. And that's really what we need to see for a healthy market.
We are cutting back on trips to the salon. We're not getting our nails done or our hair done as often. What do you read into that? People don't have a lot of extra money. They're trying to cut here and there.
Bingo. So not unexpected. So we've said for a while now that the economy is slowing and the economy is normalizing. So we had a lot of people who had extra money, whether they got that from the government or some program or who knows what it was, but they had saved up money during COVID. That's mostly spent. And so what are the first things that people are going to start to do? They're going to cut their discretionary spending. And so that might mean those things that we don't need, but we only want. So like a trip to the nail salon is a great example. I say nobody needs a $7 Starbucks drink, but the line at my Starbucks is still pretty big.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing that's really hitting right now. The federal government has started collecting student loan payments. And you guys might find this hard to believe, but they just did a little study and they found that most of the students who were not paying their student loans because they had this reprieve, most of them actually spent that money. They didn't set it into an account and save it there. So that money has been spent on other things. Well, I think that's some of the spending that's drying up right now.
And here's the thing with that. Well, first off, I'm not going to stop going to the salon. I need to pamper myself.
And your nails look fantastic.
Well, it's not my nails. It's my hair. It's a hair salon. But it seems as though that is part of the problem with this younger generation, is that when you get a reprieve on something like, you know, you're having to pay back your student loans, because obviously I had to pay on mine for years and years.
Absolutely.
It seems as though the common sense thing to do would be to take that money and put it away, because you know eventually you're going to have to start paying those loans back. But yet at the same time, it seems there's so many young people that once they have that extra income, they just find a way to spend it on something. I mean, there was a NBA player that once said, you know, we make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money.
Right.
And it seems kind of almost that same mentality when you talk about them not taking that extra money from saving on paying a student loan and putting it towards something that will benefit them.
You're absolutely right. And it's not just the young people. As those young people get older, those habits go with them. A lot of them say, hey, you know what? I'm going to put money in my 401k later. I'm going to start an IRA later, because they're busy going to the nail salon or keeping up with the Joneses or taking a trip to Vegas for a bachelor party or something like that. And so, yeah, we're going to have to see some behavioral changes if that segment of the population wants to at some point be, you know, financially secure. They're going to need to have discipline and put that money away instead of spending it. I will say that the election and the last administration did not do these students a whole lot of favors when they kept promising student loan forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And so we even advised some people, don't make your payment. Set this money aside just in case the student loan forgiveness doesn't come. Yep. But at that point, when you think student loan forgiveness is just around the corner, guess what? You probably don't want to pay off your loan, right? So yeah. A lot of people held off.
Well, and I'm kind of curious about maybe some of your clientele. I would assume that a lot of people that go to you guys at Collins and Kronk are, you know, fiscally savvy. They've set up these like 401ks and retirement right. plans ahead of time. But do you have a lot of clients that come in that you literally have to say, look, you can't go on the vacations. You can't have the quote unquote Instagram or Facebook lifestyle now if you want to have kind of that, you know, retire, not have to have some other job after you retire from your career.
Absolutely. And so that's the key to the planning side of this. You know, we can make all the right decisions on the stock market. We can make you a lot of money there, or at least I hope we can, and do all the things right. And none of that matters if we didn't tell you you needed to save more mm-hmm. or that you needed to spend less right now. So that's why we do the plan. In the end, it's not about how we did as portfolio managers. It's about the advice that we gave you along the way. And so we do the math. We figure it out. What is your Instagram? I like that. What does mm-hmm. your Instagram lifestyle look like? What's that going to cost? And can you afford to do that in retirement? And if not, then we tell them you need to be putting more money into your retirement accounts. Where does that money come from? Yeah, it's giving up some of that stuff right now, right? Yeah. So maybe that extra vacation or the amount of young people who take bachelor parties to faraway locations. Mm-hmm. My bachelor party was at a park shelter right here in town, right? Yep.
Sounds
so you
like
don't need to spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on all of those events, but yet that's what's going on out there.
Yeah, it is.
And if they're able to do that and still meet all of their other financial obligations, more power to them. But for me, putting money in my 401k, that was more important at the time.
And it's always that starting point. I mean, like I said, with my last career, there was a 5% that was matched by my employer. So you started with that 5% minimum.
Right.
And it came out. You didn't notice that it was even being taken out because it started getting taken out from the very beginning. And then when you're able to retire from that career, you've got a nice nest egg to build upon as you enter retirement and maybe your second career.
You are absolutely right. That's how it starts. You just get into that habit. Pretty soon you don't even notice that money is missing. And now you've got something great. I would much rather have that conversation with a client now saying, hey, you need to make some adjustments now, than have to do that 10 years into retirement. And we've had that too. We've had people come in and for whatever reason, guess what? Their plan score is down and we have to say, hey, you're spending more money than you told us you were going to spend. Yeah. You need to rein that in. There's been some people that I show them, you told me you were going to take out $75,000 a year. When we look at what you're actually taking out, it's almost $150,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Guess what? At that rate, you run out in seven more years, right?
I want to ask.
So we have to go through all of that.
I want to ask about your investor event today, but hold on first. What do you make of the push and pull with President Trump telling Walmart to eat the tariffs, and now Walmart's pushing back a little bit on that?
Wow. You know, if I had my wish, I would just like to have, you know, President Trump join a Toastmasters club with us. I think he would be improving his speaking ability and some of the things he says right off the cuff like that. I mean, I don't disagree that a lot of these businesses should, you know, help the U.S. economy and play along. And if that means eating the tariffs or assuming the costs or whatever other nice way we can say to do that, that's fine. But gosh, that guy needs to learn a little bit of speaking skills, I think.
Okay, your client investor event today. Give us details that. What's happening?
So it's just a fun thing to talk about. I mean, a lot of the things we're talking about here, I'm going to be speaking about at our investor event. So we do a lot of these kinds of events. So for our clients, I mean, just recently we showed the movie The Outsiders. We had C. Thomas Howell. He was Pony Boy. Our clients got to meet Pony Boy and come to see him. This is our annual investor event. It's invitation only, but for all of our clients and their friends. So if you want to come, either become a client or a friend of one of our clients.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fantastic. So we talk about what's going on in the market, why inflation, you know, isn't under control yet, why we can't lower interest rates, what's going on with this crazy market. So we're going to expand all of this. But we've got another speaker who's going to be talking about behavioral psychology. Why do people want to come rushing into the markets when prices are at all-time highs, but then when we put them on sale at 20-25% off, they run the other way? So we'll go into the psychology of that. Over the noon hour, we're actually going to have a Navy SEAL. Brad Chahote is going to speak to us about all the skills that they learn in SEAL school. You know, how do we use their risk assessment? How do we use their ability to prepare for events that are coming up in our everyday lives as business owners? How do we implement that as investors? And so he's going to be speaking to us on that. So it's just a great event for our clients.
Indeed. All right. If our listeners want to get a hold of you, Brian.
Easy as pie. Just give us a call. We're at 235 235- 1-800-878-0119, or you can always just check us out on Facebook, Twitter, I guess that's called X now, any of those places. Just look for Collins and Kronk.
Very good. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We will catch you next week. Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins and Kronk, with a market update and insight, 757. We're going to be heading into the WDAY Radio News Center coming up at the top of the hour. 801, we are WDAY Fargo. 804, time for a check on our forecast, same as it was last hour and the hour before. More rain.
Easy,
rain,
Debbie rain, Downer. Rain. My goodness. Man, here's Dean with, you know,
she makes more me rain.
Same
she
stuff, makes me different day. Nap. Rainy, gloomy, yeah. Just put me out of my misery. Back to you, Jace. Jeez.
Oh, man. Well, it is going to be a kind of a drizzly, foggy day out there today. No widespread rain like we had yesterday, but it's going to be a little moist out there for sure, with highs today into the upper 40s. And northeast winds, thankfully, will be on the light side. Again, if you're just joining us, we did set a record yesterday, 1.47 inches of rain. That's a record for the date. And most areas picked up between about 1 to 2 inches, some spots a little bit more, but a general 1 to 2 inches across much of the area, with a little bit less from Mayville up through about the Devil's Lake Basin. So a good soaking across the entire area. Then tonight we'll shut the rain and drizzle off. Cloudy skies, 38, and sun returns for Thursday, looking good with highs in the upper 60s. And then we'll stay in the upper 60s Friday all the way through the holiday weekend. Only a slight chance of a pop-up afternoon evening shower Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And again, if you've got outdoor plans, you'll get them in. But just keep in mind, might see that pop-up random shower develop with the heating of the day. But winds will be light over the weekend. Temperatures in the upper 60s. Hey, it could be worse. We could be having the weather that we had the last few days in over the weekend. That would suck.
That would.
Yeah. So it will be better this weekend. It will.
As long as the yard dries out and the wind stays away while it dries out, so I don't have another panel of my fence fall down.
Yeah, no.
That would be preferable.
That's a good news. Because we have kind of an area of high pressure aloft that's going to be trying to build in as we head into the weekend. And that usually means light winds. So yeah. I'm not expecting any windy conditions for this upcoming weekend.
That's nice. Good.
But mm-hmm. The area of high pressure will build in next week. But this weekend, again, with that cold air aloft, you get the heating of the day and you can build those pop-up showers. So, mm-hmm. But again, if you have outdoor plans, this weekend looking pretty good.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
8:06 coming up tomorrow morning, 6:56, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We will be showcasing Jerry Lee Lewis, the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney and Wings, and Elvis Presley. All that and more coming up 6:56 tomorrow morning on Flatland Music Flashback. We're going to be heading to ABC News next. Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. And Sue Barron, Golden Drive Homeless Kids, will be in talking about a bunch of fundraisers that they have coming up. 8:11, Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports.
The Wolves got outshot from the field, outshot from three, outshot from the free throw line, and committed more turnovers last night. That is a recipe for a loss. 114-88, they fall to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Even though they led by 4 at the half, they end up falling by 26 after being outscored 70-40 in the final 24 minutes. Julius Randle paced the pack with 28 points, 20 of which came in the first half. Anthony Edwards with 18 points, alongside him with 9 rebounds. Only 2 points in the fourth quarter before the white flag was waved by the Wolves. Thunder now lead that best-of-seven series 1-0, with Game 2 in Oklahoma City Thursday night at 7:30. Game coverage available nationally on ESPN. Tonight, you're going to have game one of the Eastern Conference Final. The New York Knicks host the Indiana Pacers. 7 p.m. is tip-off. That one is available nationally on TNT. And in the NHL postseason, their conference finals began last night out east with the Florida Panthers over the Carolina Hurricanes 5-2. The Western Conference Final begins tonight in Dallas as the Stars host the Edmonton Oilers at 7 on ESPN. And rainout baseball all over the place. Twins and Guardians, they have a doubleheader after being rained out for the second straight day. A doubleheader rescheduled for Saturday, September 20th. That'll turn a 3-game weekend series into a 4-gamer. And then today, this afternoon at 12:10, as long as field conditions are playable, they'll resume Monday night's game that was postponed with a 2-1 Twins lead in the top of the fourth inning, followed up by a second matchup a half hour later if field conditions, again, are playable. Same with Newman Outdoor Field for the Red Hawks and Dogs. Their first game of their series was postponed because of rain. You know, about 2 inches of rain in the metro is not a recipe for playable field conditions yesterday. Yeah. It'll be a 7-inning doubleheader with game one having first pitch at 6, game two about a half hour after, as long as they can get off the ground here this evening in primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I joined by Dragon Men's Basketball Assistant Coach Jack Thompson as we talk the new recruits coming in, well, at least kind of the skeleton of it, kind of the excitement behind them, as they haven't, a lot of them are verbals at this point, so you can't speak on them directly, paired with the new responsibilities he'll have as a second-year coach within the program.
8:13, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We all need to eat, and why not help out a good cause as you eat? We'll get all the details. Sue Barron, Golden Drive Homeless Kids, joins us next. 8:14, Bonnie and Friends, Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, Sue Barron, Golden Drive Homeless Kids, joining us in studio. You're not getting run around, Sue. You're getting something else here this morning. And all you do is make me hungry when you come in studio, because we talk about different fundraisers you have, and it is the season for brats and dogs, right?
It is, yes. Coming up, cash-wise, this weekend, Friday, Saturday.
Ooh, which, like, all the cash-wise in the metro, or?
The one on 13th Avenue in Fargo.
Okay.
They'll have, we have the brat meal, which is the brat, broader hot dog.
Okay.
The chips and a drink for $5. $5 you can get that for.
Pop or water, and 10 to 6 cash-wise, yeah, both this Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
13th
yes.
Avenue.
Yes, and then we do pre-orders. Pre-orders are great. You can get for your staff, your friends. Get some on your way out to the lakes. We'll just put the buns on the side, and we can have it ready for you. You can call and text us.
Hey,
way.
Steve Hallstrom, we like brats around this place.
Yeah. Steve.
Could use one right now, honestly, but you know, I'm just saying.
So I know you can go on your Facebook page and find phone numbers and stuff, but throw your number out there for them to text to put in an order for those that are listening right now.
Yes, please. You can call or text us at 701-850-7362. And then that'll be this weekend. The following weekend, we also have one. Just check our Facebook page, or you can go to our website, goldendrivehomelesskids.org. And then, Bonnie, you know, we have our good friends also over at Culver's doing a Dine to Donate next month.
Yeah, that's coming up in June. So we'll continue to mention these different events. But the main one here, like you said, cash-wise off 13th Avenue this Friday and Saturday from 10 to 6. It'll be Hornbacher's the next one. And, yes, we'll continue to mention these, too.
And you can bring non-perishable. And CoreCon starts tomorrow. We're also going to
be... Yeah, what are you doing there?
We'll be setting up a table, raising awareness. CoreCon, that's a big deal at the Holiday Inn.
It is.
A four-day event. 22nd through the 25th. We'll be raising awareness over there. And at both of our events, any of our events, you can always bring non-perishable and hygiene. That's always a big need, you know.
Uh-huh.
We help through all year round. And as you know, it's 100% volunteer. There is no one's paid, no brick and mortar and whatnot. Everything comes in, goes out, and we're just so thankful to our great supporters who make this happen after all these years and our volunteers.
Yeah, and a lot of fantastic businesses, like you said, with CashWise and Hornbacher's here. But tell us about Shields. What have they done recently for the Golden Drive Homeless Kids?
Wow, yesterday, rain, sleet, snow, it doesn't matter the weather. We all show up. Shields yesterday got a hold of us. We actually were at Shields, and we had vehicles full of clothing, of needed, like boxers, you know, and whatnot. They have donated so much in just this year. And we're only, May.
Yeah.
And it's been unreal, from shoes to winter gear. When they get a hold of us, it goes boom right out. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, summer, winter, Golden Drive, we're going year round trying to help. And we're contacted throughout this summer, too, with the counselors at the schools and whatnot.
Yeah, you're directly working with them to help get stuff to kids in need in our community.
Yeah, we were fortunate here just, not even a month, beginning of the month. We, Moorhead, Fargo, West Fargo, we were able to get the resource rooms at the schools supplied with the needed items, because school is... Something's getting out right now, this week, last week. And so they all have access to, whether it's clothing, whether it's food, whether it's hygiene, and it gives them hope, and they are just so very thankful. And we have the counselors from schools, they come out and help.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, and so.
And they're just grateful for everybody. Yeah. When you guys do make donations or come support the brat and hot dog stands, I mean, it's all appreciated.
Yeah, and I tell you, cash-wise, they, you know, you're getting a real good deal there for $5, and mm-hmm. they help our community so much mm-hmm. with doing their brat and hot dog stand, and you won't miss our signs. We'll have signs out on the street. And like I said, pre-orders, 701-850-7362. You can call or text us, and we'll gladly get an order ready for you. Mm-hmm. I know it's a holiday weekend, so mm-hmm. maybe you want to stop and get some.
Take it to the lake, absolutely. Yeah. And if you, you know, don't eat them right away, you warm them up, and you guys keep the buns separate so it's not like they're getting soggy.
No.
Yeah, exactly. We keep it all. We'll foil wrap them. We'll everything separately, so mm-hmm. you can just warm them up, and you know how easy that is.
Well, there's nothing better than making extra brats on the grill and having some left over for exactly. the next meal or the next day.
Yeah, that's right.
Just saying. It looks like you guys have also, in addition to helping stock these resource rooms in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo schools, you've also dispersed a lot of items to YouthWorks. Can you tell me a little bit about what YouthWorks is and what you guys have been donating over to those guys?
Yes, they have also YouthWorks. They do so many different programs for our community, helping our homeless, the teens. They have the drop-in. Mm-hmm. So their drop-in room there is mm-hmm. full of items,
yeah.
which is, with school out, the drop-in is getting busier.
Uh-huh.
And we actually just recently, the Golden Drive, was able to five transitional housing units. Supplies for the bedroom,
yep.
bathroom, kitchen,
mm-hmm.
what you would need, everything there. We were able to do that thanks to our great supporters. And they actually were about, I think it's been a couple months, maybe, mm-hmm. not even quite. But they come, they have a nice big trailer,
yeah.
and they came, and actually that was filled up for them.
Oh, wow.
Besides, you know, the mm-hmm. beginning of the year. So we've actually done tens of thousands of donations throughout our community. And what they do is you can find them on Facebook, because the Golden Drive, we're all about making the community stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could reach out, you want to reach out to the Golden Drive, we can give you direction. But we have many organizations that help our homeless kids, and you can reach out to our local schools, and they can help you with any questions. But mm-hmm. but please find us on Facebook or Golden yeah. Drive, and we'll be gladly to give you direction, and to we can meet up with you if you have donations. Mm-hmm.
You make it super easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't forget, like, the Dollar Tree.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, mm-hmm. what you can get there, they have name brands. They got all kinds of food. They have all more than you think. We were just recently had a couple counselors help the Golden Drive because time, most valuable thing we have. But mm-hmm. we were quite busy, and they actually went out and they stretched that dollar too. And they went out and helped the Golden Drive. And that receipt that lady was holding, mm-hmm. the manager at that store, it was taller than her.
Yeah.
And what my point there is that there was loads of it. U-boats full. They had mm-hmm. just gotten a truck. But what was so awesome is that you go to other places. Like I said, that was name brands.
Yep.
And all kinds of food, but mm-hmm. they were going for the hygiene,
yep.
personal needs.
Yep.
And that would cost you at least triple or more.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dollar Tree is great for that stuff.
They have mm-hmm. really, it's really upscaled.
Well, and then when these kids they're hungry and they don't have much, they don't need brand name. The Dollar Tree, like you said, it's good enough. Go buy packages of socks or, whatever you can purchase there, you guys will gladly accept and disperse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes. We'll meet up with you. We'll help you. We'll disperse it. Mm-hmm. That's where I say you can contact us, and Wow, we'll gladly help you. And the top needed items, we have that on our pages.
Mm-hmm.
We have
your webpage is beautiful. Yep. Is that newer? GoldenDriveHomelessKids.org?
Yeah, we're trying to upgrade that too.
Okay, I see that. It was a little lacking you. In that department.
Thanks,
nice
Goldie.
Work, Susie Q. And if you just click on GoldenDriveHomelessKids.org, click on Give Now. It even right there, it makes it easy for you. You can make a donation. If you leave a little note there, Sue will get it directly. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
you'll and know West, what the wants or needs are.
Yeah. And West Fargo Police Department and West Fargo Rural Fire Department, they are year-round drop-off locations for donations, regular business hours. And there's that guy over there named Steve.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, he'll be at, he's usually always over at the
is it
Rural.
All, is it always, the, is it just one location for West Fargo Rural Fire, or is it?
Yeah.
Or is it all their locations? I mean, I guess my question would be, is the West Fargo Fire Department separate from West Fargo Rural?
Yes. It's right just a block off of Main. It's just right off of Main on First Street, Center Street. Mm-hmm. But it's 106 First Street. And it's the original. The original fire department of West Fargo, but it's all rural now.
It's not like you long-term store, but just the space that you can short-term store it there before you move it out. I mean, and Steve helping with all this stuff, that's amazing.
Team. Able to use that. He's been on the fire department, 27 years? Mm-hmm. And chief of the rural since the city went its own way.
But
to have that, because we don't like stockpile stuff. But through events.
Very short holding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very short. And we get it out. We're just about moving it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, Carmel?
Well, it doesn't do you any good to be sitting in a storage unit and it's caramel, but whatever.
She just took a little shot at you with Carmel. She called you Carmel. I like that. All right, GoldenDriveHomelessKids.org. If you want to find them that way, find them on Facebook. And the first way you can help here is going to the Brat feed.
Yep.
Cashwise, 13th Avenue in Fargo. Friday, Saturday, this Friday and Saturday from 10 to 6, $5. Get yourself lunch, buy it for the whole crew there.
The following weekend over in my neck of the woods in West Fargo at the newer Hornbachers off of Cheyenne Street. So you got to check that one out as well. They got that little, I think that's always out there in the summertime, that little booth for you guys there.
They just had it delivered 2 days ago.
There you go.
But I'm all over raising it. We'll have
when are you not all over the place, Sue?
She's always all over. Sue, thanks for what you do, and looking forward to hopefully you guys will get over there and support them. We'll continue to mention the different events coming up. But
thank you very much.
Thanks, Goldie.
Thanks. Stay golden.
You too. 8:26, we are heading to the American Ag Network. 8:29, Coffee Club. At least half of them have arrived in studio. Janae is on time. Ronnie is tardy for class once again. We're going to have to mark him down.
He's getting coffee, though. So
important things.
Here he comes.
It's part of the show.
It's okay. We can just throw him under the bus.
Well, if you
don't show up on time, we just talk about you.
Yeah, that's true. Makes sense.
Janae has all the notes anyway. What are you guys doing on the show today?
Wednesday, so we visit with Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner. And we're going to speak about the Red River Child Advocacy Center today. So, and I don't think we've ever talked about that. We couldn't remember when, so I don't think we have. So, and then Sergeant Johnner is also going to be on with them too. So we're going to visit with them about that. Quirky American customs that baffle non-Americans.
Quirky American customs. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Things parents should never pay for after their kids are 18. Mm. We'll see what's on that list.
Everything.
Things you should never put in a microwave.
I know my daughter freaked out. I mean, when she was here for Easter, she warmed something up and it had plastic wrap on it. It's like, it's not like I'm doing this day in and day out. Plastic wrap once is not going to kill you, girl.
My cousin in Georgia won't even have a microwave.
Yeah, I know people like that too. To each his own.
She doesn't even think it's safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
All right. Hey, Ronnie, nice of you to show up, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you get your coffee?
I am good now. I got my coffee.
Well, important things right before you get in the studio.
Yes.
All right. Well, stay tuned for the Coffee Club. They're straight ahead. Jace, let's get out of here.
You betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we will be back tomorrow morning at 5:00. Enjoy the rain.